much about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
3, 4, 5, 6. Hey, how you doing?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Perhaps by and by I may observe that private balls are much pleasanter than public ones. On the contrary, I find that balls are much more enjoyable when they cease to remain private.
This next character is called the worst bragger in the world. So, it was a French kiss of my brother last night.
Oh my God! That means... Please interrupt me!
And now...
I like warm pee. It's comforting. First time I drank my urine, I didn't throw up. And it wasn't horrible. So I thought, you know what? I can do this.
Yum, 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 yum.
Our feature presentation.
That's good news, but why?
Right, I can do this because I didn't throw up.
How come
so
you
So anything need... I can do because I don't throw up is a good thing?
But why do you have to drink it?
We didn't watch the whole show. That was from My Strange Addiction.
Yes.
And we highlighted that lady, Carrie, last week, who drinks her urine. She also, by the way, neti potties it. She snorts it. She also brushes her teeth with it. She's got a lot of uses for her urine.
Puts it in her eyes.
Has eye cups, puts it in her eyes.
Oh, we didn't, my God.
We didn't watch the whole episode. We just got the clips off the website.
How do you not watch the whole episode?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Apparently, it was some sort of cancer prevention. Like somebody told her that it would help her beat cancer or something like that to drink her in urine. So.
Somebody where? In a parking lot somewhere?
We didn't see the show.
So I think it was the other voice in her head, personally.
Maybe. But if you want to see the whole episode, you can go to iTunes and get it for just $2.99. I just didn't.
All right, what is it?
It is there.
What's the name of it?
My Strange Addiction.
My Strange Addiction.
And it's, I don't know what they called it. I drink my pee or something like that. But she also, and this was my favorite part of the whole episode. We played this last week while you were out. Is that sometimes when she, you know, she goes into pee, she, rather than drink it right away, she saves it, lets it age for about a week, and then rubs it on her skin. She
like
does that.
Like a fine wine.
Really?
My friend.
Yes.
What are we going to have tonight? Oh, a good 1974. Excellent.
So she has many uses for her own urine. That's what a lady does. So, yeah. The new episode, and maybe we'll have a chance to look at it this week, is the woman who's obsessed with growing out her toenails as long as possible.
Oh,
so.
Really?
And then?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. So
right.
That's the current episode. That show always delivers. That My Strange Addiction.
Yeah, it really is, because they find not just strange, but unbelievably strange addictions.
I do love it so much.
Wow.
Hey, before I tell you about today's awesome story... How was vacation? Are you still drunk?
It was fantastic. What are you talking about?
It was fantastic.
We saw your tweets.
We saw your tweets.
Well, Number one.
There was one night.
Right.
And then you just stopped?
No. There was one night, perhaps. I don't remember what I tweeted.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Now, you were down in Mexico, right?
Yes, in Cabo.
But not in earthquake country this time. If you had been in Acapulco, you would have been there for the earthquake, but
somebody,
you were in Cabo.
Somebody called and asked if we felt it, and we were like, no.
Pretty far away.
Yeah, pretty far away.
Maybe last night, if you know what I mean.
Oh, dear God.
So you picked the right part of Mexico to be in this time around, I guess.
Yes, yes. It was fun, but it was spring break, which was good and bad.
Yeah.
Because I went downstairs, down the town, I was walking around, and I saw that Steve Aoki, this famous DJ, was going to be there. So I jumped a wall, I got in, and then started drinking, and then other people bought me drinks, and then things just went from there.
I see. Because we couldn't figure out that tweet to save our lives.
Which tweet? Which one?
Well, there were a couple that night that really, like, was Sting there?
Sting? No.
Well, you did write about Sting Break.
Spring Break. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We determined that you only tweet when you're not looking at the keyboard. I don't know whether it's under a table or what you're doing, but you definitely are only touch typing when you tweet.
Right.
You do not proofread, because most of the links you send don't work and stuff like that. So I always have to set aside some extra time to try to decipher your tweets. And then we've got a team that comes in and runs it through the Kevinator later. So, well, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Here's a cautionary tale for would-be thieves is how this article begins in the New York Daily News. And by the way, it's been a long time since we've done butt dialing as a phone-in topic on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's true.
Your phone dials out. You don't mean for it to, and it gets you in big, big trouble. Here's a Connecticut man who for some reason had 911 on his cell phone as one of his stored favorites. And he butt dialed as he was crawling under a fence to steal a bunch of metal, 700 pounds of scrap metal from a local business. And you know what happens when you call 911 and they can't hear you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They GPS you and they come on out and check out to make sure you're okay. Cause you know, for all they know, there's a struggle going on or you're being held hostage or, you know, they have no idea. You're hurt. You can't talk.
They have to check it out. They can't just go, oh, well, it was a hang up. Mm-hmm. They actually have to check it out.
Exactly. So they identify the caller's location by using the GPS and they arrived at the scene. They found 46-year-old Michael Gourneau was transferring the 700 pounds of metal from the local business's dumpster into a pickup truck. Again, the phone ran off while he was calling 911. So now he's been arrested. This company, by the way, makes metal doors. They store the stuff in the dumpster, and then they go and melt it down and use that money for other things. So he was stealing. So he's been arrested with third-degree trespassing, sixth-degree larceny, and is out on bond right now. But he had to be thinking to himself, I could have gotten away with this if my phone hadn't called the freaking police while I was in the middle of a crime.
But who puts 911 is in their phone as...
Yes. The only thing... I was thinking about that, too, because it's the easiest number in the world to dial, but you
and
do still have...
And it's only three.
Right? But you do still have to be able to you know, get to your phone and open it up and press those buttons, though.
It's but you easy. Do either it way. Is,
yeah, but... Pressing one button on the front of your phone is easier maybe than pressing three inside.
Just barely.
Just barely. It's not. I wouldn't use a slot for 911.
That's crazy. No. Speed dialing 911. I don't have time for the 1-1. Going to have to speed dial. That's crazy. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Why don't you take us through it,
Bean? If that's necessary, I suppose I could survive it, but I suppose I'd prefer not to.
Yeah, well.
Why don't I take us through it?
Yeah.
All right. How about the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today? It's been a while since we've done that.
Love
quite
it.
A while. How about Funny Man Podcaster and soon-to-be IFC TV star Mark Maron is going to be joining us in the studio talking about his podcast and his stand-up show in town.
Fantastic.
We got Tony Robbins, the only man on earth with a head bigger than Kevin.
The real one? Today.
Yes.
Yeah, Tony Robbins.
We're going to call BS on his walking on coals?
I think we should.
Right. I think we should bring that up as well, yeah. He does make it seem like you need 10 hours of prep work before you can walk on the coals, but our listeners say it's easy.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to him about that. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is going to be on the show today. We got a guy who was tipped off to us by a listener. He has an ad on Craigslist. He's looking for a midget friend. He's looking for a little person that he can pal around with.
His
previous midget friend died.
Oh.
And he misses his previous midget friend.
Okay.
So he's looking for one that he can pal around with. And we're going to try to help him find one.
Okay. All right.
I think our friend Brad is too busy. I think Brad's, you know, got too many other commitments. But I bet we can find him a little person that wants to hang out with this guy. He says it's for real. He wants to just do things and go places with. He misses having a little person in his life. He's looking for a platonic man or woman to be his friend.
But what do you say, like taking calls?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, let's get the word out there. And people, you know, little people
can
contact him if they want.
But golf ball rolling?
I didn't know that's how you went about it. Like, you sort of order it up. That surprises me.
I got to tell you.
I make my friends in other ways.
I do, too. But I don't know what you would do if you wanted to look for a midget. Like, where would you start? Where would you look?
Where do little people congregate?
Well, once you've gone to Disneyland, you're pretty much out, right?
I don't know.
We are also going to introduce Kevin to our new favorite rapper. You were out last week, of course, when we met the Gillionaire. Now, the Gillionaire is the best. He is the latest in a long line of guys who can't sing at all, yet has become an internet YouTube sensation with hits like his big one, I'm the Best.
Oh, yeah. I'm the Best. I'm the Best. I'm the Best.
He is the best, by the way.
He is the best. And Dave the King of Mexico played that for me just before I left.
Yes.
Oh, I was so excited.
Yes. Well, you're going to love him all over
again.
He
is the best.
We also got an update on... No, just best. He's the best.
Oh, no.
We've got an update on Kim Kardashian. I don't know if you saw last week when you were out, but you know, somebody dumped flour on her on a red carpet. And at the time, she said, "I'm not that worried about it. I'm just going to move on with my life." Now she's pressing charges. We got an update on that story.
Really?
Now she's going to take that person to court to show that violence is bad and wrong. Hmm. And late on Friday's show, we talked to your hero Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Love him so much.
all about the week he spent down there in Texas for the South by Southwest and playing with Bruce Springsteen and having the police come and pull the plug on his Night Watchman show, because it's not a party until the police show up at a Tom Morello concert, as you know.
Most Night Watchman shows don't get the police either.
No, that's true.
So we've got highlights of that for you coming up just after 6 o'clock. Ralph Garman is still working here, by the way, Kevin. Still doing the Showbiz Beat every
Fantastic.
Hour. Fantastic. And we're going to do that next, right after this, on the World Famous Camera. Ralph
Garman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kevin taped Mad Men last night.
Nope.
He actually recorded it on his DVR.
What does that mean?
It's recorded.
That's a step. That's a step in the right direction to try to get the boy on board.
Let me tell you something about Mad Men. I rarely say this about any show, but you cannot watch Mad Men. You can't jump in season 5 on Mad Men. You just can't do it.
Really?
Sorry. You can't do it.
But I'm not going to go back to season 1.
Well, then you've lost out on the Mad Men experience.
Come on now.
There's no way you could just jump in now and understand what the hell's going on and who these people are and what they've been through and why they're the way they are.
You underestimate what's up your ass. Said well.
What's what?
What? Yeah. Huh?
When I was watching Walking
We're
going
to need that tape if you don't mind.
When I was watching Walking Dead, sorry.
Kevin's back!
Woo! They had 6,000 promos for Mad Men, and I kept thinking, well, it looks pretty good.
It's great, don't get me wrong. It's brilliant.
You 5 seasons ago it was pretty good.
But you're saying I can't jump in and be caught up?
I'm not denying you permission to do it. I'm telling you, if you do it, you will not. You'll be adrift.
Ralph, I'm denying him permission.
Okay, Lisa says you can.
Really?
I meant to be hard for you. Lisa said literally you can't start watching that.
Okay, then I won't. I'll erase it.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Our friend Ted Stryker, by the way, was affected by the promos the same way you were, Kevin. So he went back to season 1 and started watching it this weekend. Now he's hooked.
Who's got that kind of time?
Well,
you do.
Apparently Stryker does.
I don't. But I was going to watch until you guys said it.
What about Megan, though, Ralph?
What about Megan? Megan is, she's hot, but I'm telling you, I can see it coming. Trust me, for a man who's been there, she crazy.
Really? She's not worth it? Even in that little outfit, she's
I'm
not worth it?
I'm just telling you, stuff's going to go down.
She sure seems to like it.
I just got to, no, package. Look, you do. You always like the crazy ones. They're the sexy hot ones. But I'm telling you, I see it coming like a train down a track. That there's going to be hell to pay with Megan.
And at the end of Crazy, it doesn't pay off well? It's not good? Things don't happen
Somebody
the way you
gets
want
stabbed
to.
In their sleep is what you say.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, it started at the party, and then with the... No, you just you get to sit over there and watch. I'm like, oh, man, she's taking her emotional tornado, and she's going to wreck his house.
Mm. And she's realized that she's married to a guy who's old and no fun, too. So she's going to be rebellious now.
Nah, I'm telling you, bad things are going to happen.
All right.
Don's got his hands full.
It is Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for a first look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week.
Really quickly, before I get a chance to get into the Showbiz News, I do want to send best wishes and condolences and a hope for a speedy recovery to the priest in Great Britain, who this weekend is recovering as he had to undergo surgery to move a potato from his butt.
Yeah! What?
Had to remove a potato from his butt.
A potato?
Yep.
A potato.
I'm sure it was just an accident.
Well, Lisa, the father did tell doctors, in the words of one of his caretakers, he explained to me quite sincerely, he had been hanging curtains naked in the kitchen when he fell backwards onto the kitchen table and onto a potato. It's not for me to question his story.
It is for us. Nurse. It is for us.
So hope that unfortunate potato accident, everything works out well.
A lot of people hang their curtains naked. Because if you don't have curtains, people can see in.
That's right.
Then you go ahead and get naked, and then you hang them.
That's right.
Love it.
Talk about top 10 movies at the box office, since it is Monday morning. That's what we do. The Hunger Games did okay for itself this weekend.
How'd that do?
$155 million in its opening weekend.
Wow, is that a record of all time?
It breaks all kinds of records, Kevin. It is the third best debut for a movie ever.
Okay.
Behind the final Harry Potter movie and The Dark Knight. It is the biggest debut ever for a movie that's a non-sequel.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's first.
And the best for any film opening outside of a summer blockbuster date. Usually that's kind of money is reserved for summer blockbusters. So pretty strong. Pretty strong. Made $59 million overseas. So that means together, worldwide, a little over $214 million opening weekend. Pretty strong.
We're looking at, I don't know, a billion by tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Crazy.
Second at the box office this weekend with just a little over $21 million was 21 Jump Street.
Oh, saw that. So funny.
Isn't that funny?
Loved it.
The Lorax was number two. John Carter was fourth. Then Act of Valor came in at number five. It's so funny. We look at these numbers. I mean, the fourth highest grossing movie of the weekend made $5 million. Yeah. Everybody went to see Hunger Games. Project X, 1,000 Words, Safe House, Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, and number 10, Casa de Mi Padre, with a little over $1 million, was 10th. Our own Chip went to see it this weekend. She's like, Dave, you have to go see Casa de Mi Padre because it's really awesome. You missed last week. You're on vacation, Kevin. But Dave, the King of Mexico, refuses to go see Casa de Mi Padre.
Loves Will Ferrell.
Because it's in Spanish?
Yes, and because he says it's too exhausting for him to have to do with all that reading.
He doesn't want to read.
None of us speak Spanish. We still go.
It's part of the humor.
But you have to read. I'm not going to read everything. I go to movies to relax, not to read.
And text. He goes to movies to text.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we said even Kevin would go to see this.
Yes. What if you sit in the back with somebody who can text fast, and then they just text you what's going on?
He said, if Kevin goes, I may have to go.
Wow.
So we'll wait and see what happens. Congratulations to our buddy Jimmy Kimmel. It's been announced today he will be hosting the 64th Primetime Emmy Awards.
Yay!
Fantastic.
Jimmy will be hosting the awards ceremony. It happens on September the 23rd at the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles. This is Jim's first time hosting the Emmys, but I'm sure it's going to be a very entertaining show.
What did he used to do? Perfect. American Music Awards?
American Music Awards, yeah. And ABC has got the Emmy broadcast
Fantastic. This
year, so he will be heading that up, and I think he'll be doing an excellent, excellent job. Congratulations to Mike Tyson. He's got a new show business buddy. Apparently he and Rosie O'Donnell now are very close.
What?
Yeah. He was in Chicago last week when Rosie O'Donnell had her birthday party, and Rosie invited him, and he decided to go. And they had a great time. He even helped wheel out her cake. And that's not a euphemism.
Stop it.
It's not a euphemism.
Had to wheel it out?
They were just hanging out together.
Too big.
So. That's an odd match.
Mike Tyson with anyone is an odd match, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
He's strange.
And as I was watching Mad Men last night, I kept waiting for Betty to show up. She didn't show up in the first episode.
Me too.
Waiting for January Jones. However, I just kept thinking as I was waiting for her, I know too much about her. This week she was talking about the fact that after she gave birth to her little boy Xander last September, she said she had no problem losing the baby weight through diet and diet teas, special teas she was drinking. And, of course, she said a big help was also eating her own placenta.
After
the birth.
Really?
Yeah. She says the placenta's chock full of vitamins and helped her get back on track after she had the baby.
Who's hungry?
She recommends it for all new mothers and says, look, we're the only mammals that don't practice this.
She fried up in a pan?
It doesn't say exactly how she prepared it. Just
kind of spices?
Garlic?
She ate it. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Takes kind of the sexy out of that.
Yes, it does.
Today's celebrity.
Not interested.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Boy, big list. Leonard Nimoy is 81 years old today. Mr. Spock, of course, from Star Trek. Actor James Caan is 72. Diana Ross, legendary R&B singer, is 68. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 64. Martin Short turned 62 years old. Actress Jennifer Grey is 52. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos turns 46. Leslie Mann, very funny and talented actress, is 40 years old. Rapper Juvenile, 37 years old. Actress Amy Smart is 36. Keira Knightley turns 27 years old today. Yeah, good batch. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 6. Don't forget K-Rock's countdown to Coachella. Just 18 days left. Listen every weekday at 5 and be caller 106.7 and you will win a pair of 3-day passes.
Nice.
5 p.m. Check out the website for more details.
So Coachella less than 3 weeks away.
Yep.
Kevin Bean's April Foolishness less than 2 weeks away.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Lisa May points out that 2012 is almost a third over already. What's going on with the world today?
I'm about a third done with my Christmas shopping.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. How about a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Put up a brand new post at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. People are literally dying to get into this All Bean Beans Death Corner.
Hey!
And it's a good batch for you today. I want to start off with a couple of suicides, which is how I like to start every week. These are interesting stories to me because women don't usually commit suicide. They're not big into the taking their own life. Have you noticed that in the news? They don't do. And when they do, they usually do it in a way that preserves them so that they look pretty when their friends and family find them.
Sure. We don't like violence.
Yeah, you almost, I mean, police will tell you this. You never see a woman shoot herself in the head, for instance, because it's just too messy and they want to just take pills and go to sleep because women are wusses like that. That's why both of these stories are so strange to me. One is this woman in her 40s who took her own life, Lisa May, in Palms, California, which apparently, according to you, is like 5 miles from where you're sitting right now.
It's right in this area.
Great.
How did she do it in a way that I have never heard anyone commit suicide? Tell me how you make the decision with all the options available to kill yourself by taking a chainsaw to your own neck.
What?
Yeah. A chainsaw to the neck. Who can even handle a chainsaw in a way that you would try to cut your own head off?
This was like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes.
I remember hearing the story, and I remember Doc talking about it, and I thought... The preliminary investigation said suicide, and I thought, there's just no way. There's no way. It's either an accident
yourself,
or someone else set it up to look like suicide.
They have determined that it was suicide. She did leave a note, in fact, by the way.
No kidding.
And the body was found by her sister slash roommate. But yeah, you just don't see anyone committing suicide with a chainsaw. It just seems like that's a difficult way to go, right?
Jesus.
The other story that's interesting is a woman who hanged herself. Now, the reason this is so surprising, she's from Russia, by the way, is that she was 105 years old when she committed suicide.
Look, I'm ready to go. Please let me go.
That's exactly what it is. Her neighbor said it was a strange thing to do at that time of life, but she used to say she was fed up with waiting for death. She just wanted to go and meet it. So, yeah, she waited till her family was out of the house, and then she took a clothesline and turned it into a noose and hanged herself.
See, this is what goes on. This is what goes on during the day. As the Bean reads these stories, he gets all giddy.
she
was 105. Let me make a note.
Doesn't that seem a painful way to go at that age? I mean, it's not necessarily sweet, kind death.
I don't know what her options were at 105, but at most she had to hang on for a couple of months, I would imagine, but apparently it was just too much.
Wow.
Here's a story on a lighter note, although it does still involve death. Here's a man who died last Monday. In his obituary, his brother who wrote the obituary said, James H. Driver, 78, of Eagle, Colorado, formerly of Columbia, Mississippi, passed away on Monday, March 19th at Southampton Place in Columbia after a brief illness. An avid Broncos fan, he abhorred Peyton Manning and evidently wanted out before a deal was done.
Oh, look at that. He was upset about Manning?
I don't know whether he was. It says here in the obituary that he was a huge Broncos fan. I don't know if he was just, he loved that Tim Tebow, or he just always hated Peyton Manning and said, I don't want to live in a world where Peyton Manning is my quarterback, but I love that it ended up in his obituary. I think that's so funny.
But what if they win the championship? Doesn't he want to see his team?
He's not going to be alive to see it, I guess. Here's a, Kevin, you'll appreciate this story. Here's a bachelor party in Kansas City. Now, let's face it. Bachelor parties oftentimes get out of control.
Sure. That's why you go.
Know, people are going, hey, it's your last chance to really get out there and party. Let's do everything. Let's do every drug. Let's go to every club. Let's bang every stripper. Let's do everything we can. Well, apparently the drinking got out of control, and Jacob Jaroski got into a mixed martial arts fight with one of the guests at his bachelor party that left him dead. Police were called just before 5 a.m. on the early morning after his bachelor party. He was 2 weeks away from being married, and he was dead. That's how you know your bachelor party is getting out of control. Is when you end up dead.
Wow. That's the line?
That's the line.
Is there no line before death where you realize things are going to...
No. If somebody else dies at your bachelor party, that's a downer. That puts a crimp in these festivities, but at least you're still alive to get married. This guy died a day before his 26th birthday and 2 weeks before he was due to be married to his girlfriend.
What about if he's yelling, I'm tapping! I'm tapping! For God's sakes, that means we're supposed to quit!
Talking about the all-new Bean's Death Corner, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and see the stories. Here's a man who worked at a factory, Kelly Bean Company, in Colorado. Well, from time to time, we see these accidents that happen in these industrial factories or warehouses. He had 20 feet worth a mountain of kidney beans 20 feet tall on top of him.
Mm-mm.
Emergency personnel were summoned. All sorts of people at the factory did everything they could to dig him out of the beans as much as possible. But alas, it was too late. He was already dead when the crews reached him. They're still investigating to determine what happened in the accident. They don't know, you know, how he ended up under all those beans or what it was that killed him, if it was the weight of the beans that killed him or if he suffocated or what. But that's not what you expect when you show up at work. He'd been working there for 15 years at the bean factory. And it ended up killing him.
Wow.
And finally, on Bean's Death Corner today, here's the dumbass of the week. This guy, I don't think anybody is going to be mourning, a Sri Lankan man. He was only 24 years old, but he was determined, Kevin, to get himself into the Guinness Book of World Records by setting the record for the longest time buried alive.
Oh, jeez. Good for him. I'm glad he went.
He had been buried alive on two previous occasions, the first time for 2.5 hours, the next time for 6 hours. He thought he'd go a little longer this time. He dug himself a trench 10 feet deep, and he was in there about 6.5 hours when his friends dug him up, and he was unconscious. They took him to the hospital where he was pronounced dead on arrival. So he will not be in the book, except in the Book of Dumbasses. And this has been an all-new Beat the Fire.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and this is it's 6:43. Well done. Like what I'm behind the scenes here right now. Like what
are we on? Are we back?
Yeah,
you know who's in charge of what? You know who's in charge of what's going on behind the scenes?
Is it you?
Beer mug.
Funny man Mark Maron joins us later on today. Also, Tony Robbins will be on, getting us all inspired and whatnot. And Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, like we do on a Monday. Hey, it's been a while. What's on the wheel about Animal Voices? We haven't called this in weeks, it seems like.
What a great idea. It has been forever. Here's what's on the wheel. You got the Icelandic worm monster.
Okay.
Love that.
You've got Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Oh, now that just makes me sad.
You have Till, the earless bunny in heaven. You have Olay, the dog that survived an avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
You have Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. You have the badass super soldier ants.
Oh, I hope it lands on the ants.
You have Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. You have the albino cyclops shark. And you have Doomsday Prepper survival kitty.
Wow, they all
survival
sound
kitty.
Good.
Survival kitty. So sad for survival kitty. All right, as you know, we spin the wheel and then we call whoever it lands on. Hit it, Steve.
It's time for... Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Almost makes your foot loose.
All right, spin it.
Let's see what this one lands on, because we're very excited about this. This lands on Till, the earless bunny, in heaven.
Aww.
In heaven. Yay! What a fantastic story this one is, Lisa. Have you heard about Till? Do you know what's going on with Till in
Not
Germany?
Not really, no.
Germany,
are you,
of course,
Jay Leno? Hey, have you heard about Till? Is Till in Germany?
Germany had, of course, Knut the polar bear that was a worldwide sensation until he died. And then the prognosticating octopus, remember who predicted? I think it was the World Cup or something the octopus was picking, and then he died. So it doesn't go well for celebrity animals in Germany. This one became a huge sensation after he was born with no ears, which, you know, is a very unusual thing to happen. And like I said, he became very, very famous. He was 17 days old, and the genetic defect made him famous, and he was all over the newspapers there. And they introduced him at a press conference where they were going to answer questions from the journalists there, and a cameraman backed up and stepped on Till and squashed him.
No!
At the introductory press conference.
No!
At the press conference where the people got a chance to meet Till and his handler. So
So he was filming stuff and looking all over the place, and then all of a sudden he stepped on him and he was dead.
That's just the worst.
Everybody
story
go home. There's
ever
nothing to see here.
That's a terrible story. Let's dial up that hotline to heaven and find out what's going on with our man Till, who can't be happy with just 17 days on Earth, even though he was famous for 17 days. Hey, Till, what's going on? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
What?
I said, how are you, Till?
What?
Till, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling about the sad, unfortunate thing that happened.
I can't talk to you right now. I'm waiting for Kevin and Bean to call.
This is Kevin and Bean.
What?
This is us.
Hello?
Look,
I know that you had no ears down on Earth, but I thought maybe in heaven you could hear.
I'm just kidding, bitch.
Oh, you're fine then. You can hear us then.
In heaven, you can hear everything.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great news.
Unlike Earth, where you can't hear a cameraman walking backwards.
That's true. Yeah.
If only I could have heard him coming.
That does seem a little odd when they were presenting you to the world. On that day was the day you died with the cameraman stepping on.
It's my own fault, really.
Why?
Why? Well, it's not your fault.
It's a little bit. I buried myself in hay.
Right.
Like, because you're a bunny, and that's what bunnies do. I'm sure it was a lot of excitement in the room, a lot of people, noise.
What German bunnies do. I was under the hay watching feces porn.
Oh, no. That turned ugly, Till.
Which, for rabbits, is not a big deal. It's just little pellets.
Yeah, that's true. It's neater, I guess. Yeah.
But I was preoccupied. I didn't hear the footsteps of the giant cameraman.
Right, but if you're the star, if you're the person that they're the animal that they're focusing on, then maybe you would think the cameraman would look out where you are.
Yeah, you'd think so.
But no.
But, it turns out Germans don't have a big heart.
Is that right?
When it comes to tiny furry animals.
Yeah.
They're more about, world wars and genocide.
Well, I don't know about that. And, that's a
world
long
domination.
Time ago.
How do you know about all that as a bunny?
Well, bunnies don't live long. They have to cram a lot of learning into a very short time.
I see. So you had 17 days.
17 days, I hit the books.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about German culture.
Okay.
It's beer.
Right.
And as I mentioned, genocide.
Right. And ShamWow. Don't forget the ShamWow comes from Germany.
They make good things in Germany.
They make a lot of good things in Germany.
They took my pelt and made it a super absorbent towel.
Well, I hope so.
I was done.
That'd be a nice lasting legacy, wouldn't it,
Till? Small ShamWow.
Very,
ShamWow.
Very sad after just 2 weeks on Earth, but you made quite an impact, Till.
Well, I'm glad I made an impression, and thanks so much for looking in on me.
No problem. No problem.
Got any carrots?
Do we have any carrots? No.
It turns out no carrots in heaven.
Yeah. There are no carrots? Why?
Jesus doesn't like them.
Really?
Yes. He's a broccoli man.
I didn't know. Okay. Well, good luck with the rest of the food there then, Till.
Good luck with that beer mug you're working with.
Mark Maron is here. Joins us next on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, what's up?
You tell me, man. How was Patton Oswalt Saturday night?
I need some cameras here. I need this going on. There we go. Oh. It's going to be one of those days.
Yes, it is.
I see. Did you just get off a plane from Mexico, Kevin? Just moments ago before you rolled in?
No, by the way, this is a... Never mind.
Saturday Night Bean, thank you for asking. Patton Oswalt was, as he always is, just...
Funny as hell.
Just inspired. Just... I had a hard time doing the show because I was crying laughing so much at the time. It was remarkable, and Patton was a good enough guy to come by and pinch hit for Kevin Smith, who couldn't do the show with me Saturday night. And, man, we had a blast. Another sold-out crowd at the Lovitz. Thanks to everybody who came out. But I'm telling you, you got to listen to this one. Even if you're
that
not a fan.
That was up for download? I got to check it
if
out.
If you're not a fan of mine, I understand that. But to do yourself a favor, and you want to hear somebody who really just is... I can't say enough good things about how
he's
funny
operating
he is.
On a different comedy level. He really is.
Go to smodcast.com. It's up for download now, our podcast that we did Saturday night. And boy, Patton was just on fire. We just had a blast. And everybody who came out again, thank you so much. I want to give a quick shout out to Jenna Talakova. Excuse me, Talakova. The young lady who was disqualified from the Miss Universe pageant. Over the weekend, I felt bad for her, and I wanted to give her a shout-out. She was going to be the representative of Canada. She is 23 years old. However, it turns out that she is a transsexual. Yep. She had sex reassignment surgery 4 years ago when she was 19.
So she's a dude?
And the pet... No, she's not a dude.
Oh.
She is transsexual. She is now a woman. And pageant officials found out that she had been a man at one time. And they disqualified her, saying she did not meet the requirements to compete. To which I say, that's BS. Really? You're taking beauty pageants that seriously that she can't compete? It's not like the Olympics where she's a shot putter or something and she has an unfair advantage because she used to be a man. It's about physical beauty. It's about looking at someone on stage saying, that's the hottest one in the competition.
The chances she's going to win after that surgery are pretty slim.
I don't know. Let her compete, though. Let's find out.
I agree.
If she was beautiful enough to get through the initial... pageant qualifications and get up on stage and no one knew until someone blew the whistle on her, I say let her compete with all the original women there. And let's see who comes out on top. That's all.
I agree.
But Jenna apparently not qualified to compete in a competition where people stand on stage wearing a sash answering questions about world hunger. So it's probably overqualified. How about this Hunger Games, huh?
Yeah.
I'm Bob Hope. Hey, how about that Hunger Games? That's something, isn't it? Did pretty well for itself this weekend. As we look at the top 10 movies at the box office, $155 million made it number one this weekend.
It's a really good movie.
I have not had a chance to see it yet.
Really good.
Had a busy, busy weekend. But I'm looking forward to it. I love that Jennifer Lawrence. She's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Ralph, did you get a chance to spin anyone's heads out by going up to it going, hey, it's just like Twilight, right? Just to see what they would do.
I was driving by theaters as they were lined up outside. It's just like Twilight, right? Stop it.
Nothing upsets a Hunger Games fan more than that.
Oh, those Mockingjays, they get very upset. 21 Jump Street was second at the box office, a little over $21 million. Then The Lorax made another $13 million, good enough to make it number three. John Carter made $5 million. Disney said they're probably just going to have a $200 million loss on John Carter.
Just that's all?
That's what they're expecting.
Just $200 million?
Just $200 million in the red when it comes to this film. It cost $250 to make, another $100 to promote.
Wow.
So they're speculating they'll write a number in the loss column of $200 million.
But apparently that word has not gotten out to everybody how bad it is because it's still in the top five. People are still going to see it.
The top five is $5 million. You know, yeah. The top five drops off considerably after Hunger Games.
I just can't believe there's somebody this weekend who said, I'm going to go see John Carter.
I heard people say it wasn't even that bad.
I liked it.
The people enjoyed it.
But then I like sort of everything. Yeah. But I did like it.
Patton Oswalt again speaking about Saturday Night. We were talking about the movie and he said, the original name of the property was John Carter, Warlord of Mars. It's like that's a movie you want to see. Just call if you want to take it. You want to shorten the title, make it Warlord of Mars. But you don't make it John Carter.
Yeah,
he said that's like someone taking Star Wars and calling it Luke Skywalker, Space Farmer. Act of Valor was fifth at the box office this weekend. Project X was sixth. 1,000 Words, Safe House, Journey 2, and Casa de Mi Padre. Number 10 at the box office this weekend, which is still in very limited release, so it's doing very well for itself. But I encourage everyone to go see that movie. Boy, that was a lot of fun.
Obviously.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lana. Today's celebrity birthdays. Big, big list of people celebrating birthdays today. Not the least of which, by the way, is my own daughter, Olivia Garman. Celebrating.
Oh, how about that?
Celebrating her second birthday today. So we had a big party yesterday. That's why I'm a little wrecked, because she and I got S-faced.
I bet.
Woo!
I bet.
We were doing shots. Jaeger bombs.
It's hard for you to keep up with her, isn't it?
She's got youth on her side. You know, I could drink like that when I was her age, too, sure. But I just can't keep up anymore. But speaking of which, real quickly, a lot of emails and stuff from people who remembered that it was around the time she was born. And my wife and I were saying yesterday, on her birthday, we can't help but remember all the listeners who gave us so much love when she was born. She was in the hospital for 3 months, and we lost her brother, Lincoln, her twin brother. And there was so much an outpouring of support and compassion from all the listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show. We think of you often, guys, about her, and especially on her birthday. So thanks so much for everybody who was there for us a couple years ago when it was all going down. And thanks to the people at the NICU at Cedars-Sinai, by the way, who took care of her for 3 months. We're also celebrating them by making them one of our charities for the April Foolishness show that's coming up. So
yes, happy to do it.
It's nice to be able to give a little something back to those guys. Other birthdays today, Leonard Nimoy. Mr. Spock is 81 years old
what
today.
Was
Leonard still can't hear us.
What was that?
James Caan is 72. Alan Arkin. Wow, we got something for everybody.
Come on.
It's a long list, Bean.
But they're all bad. None of them are good sound effects.
Alan Arkin is 78 years old. Diana Ross is 68. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 64. Martin Short, boy, that guy's talented. He is 62 years old. Jennifer Grey is 52. Michael Imperioli of The Sopranos turns 46. Leslie Mann is 40 years old today. Amy Smart turns 36. And Keira Knightley is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. Very excited. A man we had on the phone a couple weeks ago. We had so much fun. We said, hey, stop by when you're in town. And sure enough, he's always in town because he lives here. And Mark Maron has joined us, ladies and gentlemen, for the
WTF
podcast. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
I'm good. I just stopped by. Drove through traffic. Stopped by. Right down the street.
Happened to be in the area?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, at 6:30 in the morning. I just happened to be on the highway.
Right.
I mean, I can't stand people.
on the highway. I can't.
You can't get people at all, Mark,
well, no, well,
period.
No. I think people leave early to go to work in this town just so they can drive freely.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, just so you can have the open road. I can't. I mean, I really think that traffic kills empathy. I just can't deal with it. I have that moment where...
Well, it does, because most people aren't paying any attention, and so they've got their left signal light forever, or they're not going fast enough, or whatever. They're just not paying attention to the fact that there's anybody else on the road with them.
Yeah, I actively want to plow my car into the car in front of me.
I would love that.
Yeah, it would just be so satisfying just to be able to do that. But there are moments where if you're stuck in traffic long enough for 20, 25 minutes, and there's moments where when you finally see what's happening, what caused it, you don't care at all. You're just like, oh, that's what happened. Now I know why I'm late.
There's a head on the side of the road.
No, yeah, the car could be overturned. That poor idiot. Yeah. I guess he's not getting to work.
Mark, are you at the point where maybe you shouldn't leave your house during bad traffic areas? Are you getting to a road rage?
There's no reason to. I mean, I don't have to. I don't mean to be hackneyed about it. And I've lived here since 2004. And that really is the worst part about being in this city.
Yeah, of course,
and it's so consistently bad, and people just adapt to it. But then there are those moments when you're stuck in it, and you're like, God forbid anything happened where any of us would have to leave. It would be complete chaos.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring anyone down in their car.
No,
I don't think today's the day.
But if something happens today, you're screwed.
Yeah, you certainly are.
Opinion, that's you don't what think you're it's saying. Today.
Yeah, we'll be fine in the studio, but anyone who's on the highway when this goes down in about 20 minutes, you're in trouble.
I think you lose your tolerance, though, too. Like, you deal with it if you have to. And once, like, you don't have to, the few times that you do, you just lose your mind.
There's no reason to. And also what you realize about L.A. over time is there's no center to this city.
No.
You know, it's where you go where you work, and that's it. I live out in the east side. I don't have to come into Hollywood ever. I never have to go to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And some people are like, isn't that why you live in L.A.? No, it's not. I live in L.A. to live in a house way up tucked away in the hills of the barrio. I don't need to go to the beach. That would take me 2 days to get to the beach from where I was. Every time I leave my house, it's like I'm going on a camping trip. It's like, do I need my tent? I think I might need a tent.
I certainly need two meals.
Yeah. I got back a lot of snacks. I should have a first aid kit. I don't know what's out there.
Well, Mark, you joke that you're in the neighborhood, so you thought you'd swing on by, but it's funny because your schedule lately has been you fly into a city, spend 6 hours there, get on another plane, and leave. I mean, someone is trying to kill you with the schedule reason.
It's ridiculous, man. I just got
back. Were
you
really in Indiana yesterday?
I was in Indiana yesterday. The last few weeks have been ridiculous. I was in Minneapolis for 3 days, and I flew to South by Southwest for 1 day to interview Jeffrey Tambor at a live WTF. It was great. It was like jousting. You know, some interviews, as you guys know, you do this every day. You go into it with an open mind, and then you realize, like, I'm in a battle of some kind. What's happening here?
He was like that?
Well, no, he was a nice guy.
He's one of our favorites.
No, he's great.
But, yeah.
I've never talked to him. I'd never met him, and it was the first time I did a one-on-one live. Like,
right.
Usually I do those in the garage, and the live ones are panel shows. I got four or five dudes up there.
Right.
And once you get someone in front of an audience, it kind of takes away the intimacy factor, because then you got three elements in the room, and he got me on the defensive right away. Like, I knew right away it was going to be weird. It was endearing, but I'm curious to hear it. I'm putting it up Thursday, so today's this week's like Arrested Development week. I put up Michael Cera today, and sort of worked out that way, but it was definitely hands-on, and I knew I had to sort of save face during the show, because he made it really difficult, but it was really funny.
It's unbelievable the guests you get, and I guess it's getting commonplace now where people understand it's not a weird thing to do a show out of your house anymore. People just come to your house. But who's the celebrity that you were most surprised about was in your garage, Mark?
Well, it is very odd that it's actually become credible, that people will make the trip. Well, you know, I've had John Hamm out there. I've had Bryan Cranston out there. I've had Stephen Wright out there. I think
crazy.
No, it's crazy because...
But John Hamm is in your garage. I mean, that alone sounds like a sitcom premise.
Well, exactly. And it's going to be a sitcom premise. I just did a deal with IFC for... they made a series deal with me for next year. I'm going to do 10
minutes. Right?
Yeah. But if you think about it...
Is it the same thing? You're doing your podcast.
Well, it's
you
a scripted thing,
in.
But like, think about it. 10 years ago, if you would have pitched, like, all right, I'm a guy, I just live at home and I have a talk show in my garage, people would be like, that's ridiculous. No one's going to buy that premise. Well, the difficult thing with John Hamm was really that I can't. I'm such a fan of the show of Mad Men. I watched it last night, and just having Don Draper, I can't. Like, I'm still sort of a fanboy in some ways, and I really have a hard time separating actors from the characters that I love them for.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to sit across from Don Draper and not just say, "Come on, you're
you're just Don Draper. You're not a real guy. You're not John Hamm. You don't have a life. Be Don Draper. I had that problem with Cranston too. I really wanted him to be Mr. White.
How great is he?
He's awesome, and he's a real. You know, you've probably interviewed him. He's real slick, and he's really. Yep. But you kind of want to ask him meth questions. You want to test his ability.
He's got Breaking Bad for those of you who don't recognize the name, and that of course is one of the best shows ever.
Well, now I have to go. I actually have to get some Sudafed because I don't feel great. I've brought virus into your studio. I hope you don't mind.
Thanks, Mark.
But I like Sudafed, and now like every time you buy Sudafed, you got to be put on a list. If you just buy one box of Sudafed, I mean, I don't know what they think you're going to do. Make one line of meth? Are you? I have to supply my Barbie trailer with a full. I have a small lab set up in the Barbie trailer.
Yes, they are getting a little bit anal with the paperwork. Now, about your show that you mentioned, and I know it's not till next year, but is it true that Ed Asner is playing your father in the show?
He did in the pilot. I mean, that was another thing. Yeah, as far as celebrities being at my house, I mean, to get back to the other question, Conan O'Brien was probably the most overwhelming for me in that I had done his show many times over the years, like 40-some-odd times, and we only have an on-air relationship. I've never talked to that guy, but he's done a lot for my career. He's always been very supportive of me. But I've never, you know these guys kind of, because you're in the same community.
But in a business sense.
Yeah, we're not friends. No. And then all of a sudden, he's in my house, and I was nervous. I was, it was weird to have Conan in my garage. And then it was the first time that this ever happened. Like, we had a conversation. It was a great interview. And then he's sort of lingering in my house.
Just hanging out?
Yeah, just hanging out. And I literally got sort of like, you got to get out. I don't know what to do with you here. I mean, we're not gonna hang out, right? I don't say like, can I come over for dinner next week? Can I come see the kids? Like, why are you still in my house? I'm freaking out.
That is weird.
It was a little weird. But Ed Asner was at my house. We shot the pilot at the house, and that was weird because we did it with no money, and we did, like I said, we shot it at the house. And Ed Asner comes over, and he's just sitting there, and they're setting up lights and cameras and stuff. And he's just sitting at my dining room table, and I'm like, it's Ed Asner. And I said, and I'm like, you want coffee? He goes, you making it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll make you some coffee. All right, then I'll have coffee.
No, I'm asking you to.
Yeah, I would have. It would have been funny. But I hope he's on board for the series. That would be awesome. It was pretty exciting to work with him to just be in your driveway.
Is there anything you don't do at your house?
I'm a little worried about it. Like I said off air there, there was a sticker, a WTF sticker, a sticker for my show stuck on my wall at my house, and it was written, sort of greetings from Boston. And I'm like, oh no, they're making pilgrimages. People have found my address, and they're just paying a visit to the cat ranch. And they're just like, hey, we were here. How is that not a creepy thing? I appreciate that you're a fan of the show, but don't leave weird offerings on the wall.
Just drive by.
I mean, it's just a tourist attraction.
You don't even need to drive by, really. I mean,
come on now.
It's just a house.
It's too
easy to find people. Really, you can't protect yourself at all.
Yeah. Mark Maron is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's on Twitter at Mark Maron. The podcast, by the way, the WTF podcast is WTFpod.com. Now, you're doing a live show tomorrow night that is technically sold out, but they might be doing some standing room only tickets tomorrow night. And this is going to be at something called the Trepany?
Well, that used to be the Steve Allen Theater. It's over on a Hollywood, like at Vermont.
They changed the name. Okay.
It's a great venue. Yeah, we're doing that. That's going to have Ron Funches, Roy Scoville, Brent Weinbach, Eddie Pepitone and Jim Earl. Those are usually a blast. We have a real good time. And Retta from
Parks and Rec.
Is she?
I don't know who any of those people are.
That's two of us. No, I'm kidding. They're all very funny people. And then on Thursday, I'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena with Maria Bamford and Eddie Pepitone. That's a great club, and we're excited about that. That's going to be very, we're going to be plunging the depths of neurotic comedy that
Fantastic.
Night.
Fantastic.
Tickets available for that one at icehousecomedy.com. We'll take a break. Mark Maron is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be right back. Mark Maron in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, from the WTF podcast. You can see him on stage tomorrow night at the Trepany. Am I saying that right, Mark? Is it the Trepany?
I actually have no idea. It's the old Steve Allen. I think it's a Trepany. It's a great room. It's a weird place because there's some other thing in there. I don't even know what it is. The Skeptics or the Center for, it's a Steve Allen Theater, and it houses some weird, I wish I remembered. And
like the Scientology Museum of Death is there or something cool like that.
Yeah, that's exactly where I love to perform. As any Scientology sponsored outpost, I will.
Death's involved.
That's always good for comedy.
That's right. It gets people in the mood.
Yeah, let's get right to the core of what we're all running from. Hey, let's start the show.
That is standing room only. Tickets, by the way, are going to be released, they think, tomorrow night at the box office. But you can for sure see Mark on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena at icehousecomedy.com. It's so funny because you seem like a, you know, this is the first time we've had you in the studio. You seem relatively well-adjusted and happy.
It but just happens.
It doesn't sound that way most of the time. Most of the time, look, I love the podcast, Mark, but yeah. I always feel like I'm going to treasure every downloaded podcast that I haven't listened to yet because it might be the last. I always feel like any minute now, he's going to run out of steam. This
do you
point
I feel like that?
Can a guy have a good morning? I mean, let's not go overboard here. I feel a little more comfortable. There's no threat of me being completely happy. That's always the big fear, and sure. People ask you that. It's like, hey, you seem like you're doing all right. I guess the podcast is going to get boring.
Right.
No, don't worry. I'll find misery somewhere.
And it's not even stuff to complain about.
Well, yeah, I'm a little happier. I feel a little better about myself, but on a day-to-day basis, there's always things that irritate me. I mean, I was just in Indiana, and that this morning I talked about that because that was insane. Because I feel I had that gig set up for months.
Right.
I was supposed to go to Indiana. 3 days before I go there, they're like, oh, no one's going to go on Friday night. The Hoosiers are playing the Wildcats. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. It means that no one's going to go to your show.
It's March Madness. That means no one's going to show up.
Right. But I didn't realize the degree of it because I'm not a big sports guy. But they took the lamppost down in that town so people, when they were excited, would not fall out of the sky. I do not understand. Like, to me, like, wouldn't you be tearing things down if they lost? No, the fear is that they're going to win and they're going to destroy the city.
They're going to riot. Yeah.
So I get there, and not only did that happen, I knew that was going to happen. The ticket sales were not as bad as I thought, but I get there and I'm taking a nap because I got up at 3 a.m. and there's a pounding on my door, and the woman's like, guest services. And I'm like, no, I don't need anything. I'm good. You never know what that is. Then she pounds again. I'm like, what's up? She goes, well, there are funnel clouds in the area, and we're suggesting that guests take shelter. If you don't want to leave your room, the bathroom is the safest place. So I don't know why she was being polite. If there's a tornado, say tornado.
Right.
Because I can sweep through a funnel cloud. That didn't sound threatening to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can nap through anything called a funnel cloud. So I go back to sleep, and then the town is pelted with marble sized hail. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, for months I had this book. Now there's hail, there's tornadoes, and a game where they have to protect the city from fans. How is this happening to me? See, I personalize everything.
Yeah, sure.
But it worked out.
By the way, that was all against you.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, you knew that.
No question.
Yeah, no, it said Mark Maron is in town. It was international news. That's how my brain worked.
It was God saying, F you.
Yeah.
Mark Maron.
Yeah. It was God saying, I exist. Stop fighting it. But the shows went over well because the people that did come clearly did not care about basketball, so we had a little bonding there. But it did. But they lost, and nobody tore the city down. They just drank quietly by themselves. That's the Midwestern way. But it worked out, so there's always something.
I suspect in Indiana, even people who don't care about sports, though, have to kind of get caught up in, I mean, that's their identity is basketball in that state, right? That's the biggest thing they got.
That's all they have. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, religion is religion, and if it's basketball, it's fine.
Right.
It's like, you're not going to go either way.
Why aren't you a sports fan? Because that's unusual to meet a guy who isn't.
See, now I'm going to get emasculated.
Well,
I'm going to get emasculated in the morning.
You might emasculate yourself. We're just giving you the opportunity.
Well, I think, I've got I have a sports physique. I can hit a ball. I think it all comes down to an experience. First of all, my dad, I think you have to be wired for it. You have to be brought up with some sense of competition. You have to enjoy it. I was never given a healthy sense of competition. To me, everything was a life or death issue. There was no, whatever sport I played, if I lost, it was a personal indictment on everything I represent.
Yeah. That's rough.
I'll tell you the real story. Pee Wee Little League. My parents had signed me up so they'd have more time to themselves.
Of course.
Yeah. And,
of course.
And I was fat. And so at that time, no one could hit the ball into the outfield. So the fat kids were all in the outfield. So I'm a fat center fielder. And over to my my left is the fat right fielder. Mm-hmm. And then there's a fat left fielder. And we're all just kicking the dirt out there. You know, kind of like, what are you going to get after game, Snickers or a snow cone? Nothing ever happened out there. And then I heard that pop of the bat. And sure enough, I look up and there's a ball coming at little fat Mark. And I back up to catch that ball. And I hear my coach saying, get under it! Get under it! And then in my mind, it was a sprinkler that undermined me. I tripped. I fell over backwards. The ball bounced off my face and broke my nose.
Oh!
And in my mind, I heard my coach going, get up, you fat little bastard! Oh, you're so fat! Field it. And I'm crying. Now, that's probably revisionism. I'm probably adding that. I don't know that a coach would have said that. But I think that was the end of my sporting career was being, you know, hit. How do you get hit in the face with a ball in center field? If that's not a sign from God that you shouldn't be involved in sports, yeah. I don't know what is.
I think you made the right call.
And my brother was a little jock. You know, I was more of a rock and roll kid, and he was a tennis kid. And I think we had to keep it separated. But I've always had a weird thing. I mean, there's still part of me, I'll be honest with you, being the kind of person I am. If I see a group of high school kids, guys, wearing letter jackets, there's still part of me that thinks, like, oh, man, be cool. Don't freak them out. You know, I mean, when does that go away? I'm 48, and there's still part of me that is threatened and intimidated by kids in letter jackets.
Yes. Can I answer that?
Yeah.
25 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir. That's when that goes away.
Yeah, but yeah, what are they doing? They're like, why is that weird guy freaked out? Because you guys are mean.
That's awesome. So it's as with so many things with you, Mark, it's a deep childhood scar that prevents you from enjoying yet something else that the rest of us find so much pleasure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I it's hard to come around to sports as a grown-up. And I don't know if you know Frank Santarelli. He's a great Boston comic, and years ago, he put it very well, and I understand sports. I have nothing against sports. I'm just not wired for it.
Right.
Like, you know, I watch a game like a stupid girl watches a game. Like, yeah, I could be in a room full of guys watching a game, and I'll just be like, he hit it. That's good, right? So, you know.
Wow.
I don't say that.
I know would punch you.
I don't say it. I go, is that good? That's good, right? Is that our guy? So, which color are we rooting for? Which color jersey? So, but I don't go to those things. I know how to protect myself. But what was I getting at? I forgot.
Yeah, Frank Santarelli put it back.
Oh, that's right. I did a show with him on Comedy Central, Short Attention Span Theater, years ago, and he was my sidekick. And he once said to me, he asked me about a game because he was a guy. You know, he was into the game, and I'm like, I really don't. I'm not into sports. And he looked at me with such confusion, almost like it was the deepest. He was surprised to his in his soul,
right?
And he looked at me, he said, "What, you don't care about sports? How do you feel alive?" And then it was at that moment that I understood it, and I was like, "I get it now." It's like you were saying, it's like basketball, it's like anything else. To be part of that, to be into a team,
right,
to follow it, that there's a real, you know, you live vicariously through it. It operates on all levels of your being. You know, you root for the team; they mean something to you. There's a bigger meaning to it. You're part of a larger community of people that are into it. It's spiritual.
So you understand all of that,
yes,
and yet you don't want to have anything to do with it.
I didn't say that. I just said if you could somehow get me excited about it. Look, I've got a lot going on in my head, and you know, there's an ongoing game of me against me, and it's a very challenging game, and it's completely compelling on a day-to-day basis.
I got you.
See, Mark is into sports, just all this the players all are Mark.
That's right. I think that's a fine way to put it. And this morning I'm winning.
We are unfortunately out of time, but this is what's great about Mark and his podcast, is he can talk as long as he wants, and you don't have to break and go bye-bye. Mark is going to be on stage at the Trepanier House in Los Angeles with a great lineup of fellow comics. That's tomorrow night, and then Thursday night at the Ice House in Pasadena, and the podcast is WTF with Mark Maron. Very excited about the IFC news. I can't wait to see that on the schedule, too, man. That's great news.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
So happy that you had the time to come by. You're welcome anytime, Mark. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Tony Robbins joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the motivational speaker with the giant head, the Awake the Power Within guy.
He's not going to make us walk on coals, is he?
I don't know. I don't think he's legally allowed to require us to do that, to talk to him, but he's going to be coming up. Also, we got a Kevin Bean fan, I think he's a listener, who is looking for a little person to be friends with. He lost his little person friend, so he's looking for a new one.
I didn't realize that was one of the services that we provide.
Yes, it is, okay. As a matter of fact. Kevin is back from vacation. I know you check out. I know that you if it's even possible, you watch less news when you're on vacation than when you're working.
I try not to pay attention to anything that's real.
So you may have missed this story, but Kim Kardashian was on a red carpet Thursday night. I guess she was unveiling yet another new perfume, if you can believe it. I think this is her fourth scent she's unveiling to the public.
Okay.
So she's walking the red carpet, and somebody runs up and throws a bag of flour on her and just douses her with flour.
Wait, why?
Well, we're not exactly sure. It might have been anti-fur, but I will tell you that there is somebody who is ticked off about this who may have some more details. Her sister, Khloe Kardashian, is really, really pissed and says, thank God I wasn't there because, you know, that I would have given them a piece of my mind. So let's get Khloe on the phone here. I think we got her set up with producer Dave right now. Khloe, are you there?
Hello. Who's here, man?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Lamar? We were looking for your wife again. It's Kevin and Bean.
Why you guys call so damn early, man? You always wake my ass up.
It's when we work.
Yeah, well, it's not what I work, man.
Yeah, no, you don't work on the court either, my friend. When the Lakers kicked your ass.
Yeah, go Lakers.
you don't play for L.A. anymore, Lamar. Remember?
No, I'm talking about the Grizzlies game last night. Man.
Oh, last night. Yeah, that's a different game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny when they lose. Sit Kobe down. Good idea.
Right. Do you mind if we speak with your wife?
No,
you
let's talk more Lakers. So Kobe gets pulled like 7 minutes left
now
in the game.
If you don't mind, let's talk.
He sat him down like 4 minutes. What the hell is he the man thinking?
We'd like to talk to
Kobe Bryant, man.
To Chloe, if you don't mind.
That's funny when the Lakers lose.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, you want to talk to Chloe?
Please.
Do you mind?
Oh, yes, guys. I was ready. I want to talk to you.
Here she comes. Wow.
Hello. Hi, Brian. Hi, Ellen Kay.
Hi, Chloe. Hello, it's Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Tom.
Just Kevin and Bean again,
hi,
Chloe.
Big boy and big boy's gastric bypass surgery.
So I was bringing Kevin and the listeners up to speed with your sister. She got hit in the head with all that flour the other night, and then you tweeted, I wish I was with my sister tonight. I bet you that woman wouldn't have dared tried a thing.
That's right. I was so angry when I saw her doused with flour. My first thought was, oh, if I was there, I would kick some ass.
Right.
Well, it wasn't my first thought. My first thought is, oh, I could deep fry her right now and just eat her. She's already rolled in flour. I could just fry her up and just eat her in one bite. That would be delicious.
Just pop her in the mouth.
That's my first thought. Then my second thought is, oh, if I was there, I would kick that girl's ass.
Right.
And dip her in flour and deep fryer and eat her.
And then
sure,
eat her.
Yeah. Okay. And I understand you want to stick up for your sister, and I understand that you get mad, but you know that you really wouldn't have fought with the woman if you had been there on the red carpet, right?
Oh, I wouldn't
Chloe?
Have.
No, you wouldn't have.
I absolutely would have.
I think she would have.
No one messes with my family. And besides, what is the point of being 8.5 feet tall, 375 pounds, if you can't lay somebody out who tries to assault your sister?
Now, why flour? Do you guys...
I would put salt on her and then I'd eat her.
Yeah. Do you guys have any idea why it was flour? What was that about?
Well, I think the anthrax store was out. I think they were out of product, so they had to use the next white powder they could find. No, I believe it was an anti-fur message.
Okay, all right.
Or it was a giant publicity stunt staged by my mother, Chris.
Well, hold on a sec. You're the first person to suggest that, Chloe, really?
I think they're trying to get more sympathy for Kim. So they said, if someone attacked her, then everyone will feel sorry for her.
Wait, so you think your mom came up with the idea to douse her with flour?
I wouldn't put it past her.
Wow.
Interesting.
I remember once when I was walking the red carpet, Chris, my momager, mm-hmm. as I like to call her, came to me and said, we'd like to douse you in flames. We'd like to set you on fire.
Right.
And I said, no, Mom, I have to draw the line there someplace. So I think she has had these thoughts before.
Okay.
But she would never burn up her precious Kim. No. Sure. Pick on the giant, why don't you?
Well, Chloe, Kim really is spectacular looking.
Not when she's doused in flour.
Mm.
Okay.
Although all the good news is they're using those photos of her with flour all over her hair and all over her shoulders to debut the new Kardashian dandruff shampoo. It's going to be the new before picture.
I didn't know you had the dandruff shampoo out.
Well, we didn't. Then we got the idea. We said, this is a great idea. We'll show Kim all these white flakes all over. And then next thing you know, Kardashian shampoo. And we spell shampoo with a K.
Of course you do. You have to, yeah. Right. You guys don't miss a lot of opportunities to sell stuff, do you?
Shank-pook.
Shank-pook it is. I like it.
I like it as well. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:58.
Got a brand new song from the Silver Sun Pickups coming for you sometime in the next half hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so stick around for that. Ralph's got us going with the showbiz beat now on a Monday. What's happening?
Watch your language, sir. I don't know what you're going to say there, but it sounded a lot like sugar.
That's how it started.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations to the Philadelphia Flyers for locking up their slot in the playoffs, Kevin. I'm just wondering how the Kings are doing. I'm just wondering if the Los Angeles Kings have locked up their position in the Western Conference for
nope,
the playoffs.
Right where we want to be. Keeping everybody
battling
guessing.
Battling for eighth place?
Keeping everybody guessing. Maybe barely in eighth place, but...
I'm just curious.
Just keeping everybody guessing. We got about 6 or 7 more games.
Been waiting a week for you to get back from vacation.
It's right where we want to be.
Talk some hockey.
Yeah.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Hunger Games outperformed even the most generous expectations of how much money it was going to make this weekend. People were saying, well, between $100 and $150 million, that's what we're guessing. $155 million domestically in its opening weekend. Gave it several records. It is the third best debut ever for a movie, behind the final Harry Potter movie and The Dark Knight. It's the best opening for a movie that wasn't a sequel ever. And the best opening for a movie ever outside of the summer blockbuster season. So, congratulations.
I hope she's lined up for the next couple of movies, Jennifer Lawrence.
I'm sure they signed her up for a trilogy. Absolutely. You don't spend that kind of money on the potential blockbuster franchise without making sure that you got your star all lined up.
Does
Kevin have a crush? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah. Somebody tweeted, I forget who it was. I wanted to give them credit, but I can't remember right now. But said, sad entertainment news. Jennifer Lawrence killed today, crushed under the pile of scripts that landed on her front door after the opening weekend.
She's one of those girls that you watch the movie, and even if the movie was bad, which it wasn't, every second she's on the screen,
she's a star.
Yeah.
She's got that thing.
She's got that thing you want to watch.
$155 million domestically, and then another $60 million around the world, so about $214 million worldwide. Not a bad opening weekend. 21 Jump Street was second at the box office this weekend with $21.3 million. Dr. Seuss's The Lorax came in at number three. John Carter and then Act of Valor are the top five. Number six was Project X, 1,000 Words, Safe House, Journey to the Mysterious Island, Casa de Mi Padre, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Oh, I won't go see it. I don't like to read in the movies.
I can't believe that's what Dave says.
By the way, he's a guy who reads and writes in the movies when he sits there and texts during the film, but he won't watch it up on the screen.
I don't like to read.
I go to relax, not to read.
He also said he was one of Kevin's people when he said
that's
that.
That's right,
but
Kevin.
But is reading really, I mean, is it that difficult? I don't read books all the way through to the end.
We're not
he's
literate now.
I don't have the attention span.
I think Dave can read. I think that's what it is.
What
he's embarrassed
to say. Does he need me to sit there and go,
okay, no, he's saying he's going in.
He needs those earphones that blind people have to wear when they watch the movies. Congratulations, I guess, to Tori Spelling. She's pregnant again.
Oh, they have to stop with this.
What is that, number four?
Let me see. It's a mom of three. She got three, so this will be the fourth. Yeah. Just 5 months after welcoming her little girl Hattie into the world, she is pregnant yet again.
5 months. That's a kid that requires a lot of attention still.
Yes.
She's having another one.
Yeah, so she's already pregnant. I believe it's the producers of her reality show saying, come on! Nobody's watching. We need a hook.
This
we
is the only
more.
Thing that's interesting
you
about you.
You need to be the new Octomom. Just more children. Tori and Dean plus eight. Come on. Does that have a nice ring to it? So congratulations. But not things that always work out in Hollywood when it comes to romance. Eddie Griffin, for example, actor and comedian, and his wife Nia Rivers are divorcing after 6 months of marriage.
Well, they gave it a good try.
They did. They hung in there as long as they could. They filed for divorce a month after they were married, then decided to reconcile, but that didn't take, so it's all over between the two of them. Mm. So. You file for divorce a month after you're married. Mm. That's saying something.
That's maybe I know I made a mistake the day I walked the aisle.
Congratulations to our buddy Jimmy Kimmel. It's announced today that he will be the host of the 64th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards.
He's a great host for those shows.
He's a perfect choice.
I know it's hard for us to separate the fact that he's our friend, but I think he's great at that.
As you can imagine, the ceremony will air on ABC on September the 23rd. You can check it out at the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles is where it's going to be happening.
I just don't care at all.
Come on!
That's harsh.
It's Jimmy and the Emmys.
I don't even remember who hosted last year, but I do remember us coming in the next day going, why don't they just give it to Jimmy? It'd be perfect for this.
Gosh, I don't remember who hosted the Emmys either.
But it is clear that Hollywood listens to us.
That's the point we're trying to make.
So
we carry that kind of swag, because I'm the best. Swag.
Ralph, I'm sure on Friday. You told everybody to go see Hunger Games.
I did. And look what happened.
Well, that happened.
I'm the best.
Burse. Can't wait to play that for you next hour.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Leonard Nimoy is 81 years old today. Live long and live longer and prosper. Spock.
Live a little longer.
he's obviously lived longed already. Lived longed?
Yes.
Alan Arkin, 78 years old. James Caan is 72. Diana Ross is 68. A lot of old-timers in the list today. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 64. Very talented Martin Short is 62. Remember when you and I went to see his one-man show, Bean?
I sure do. We had a great time.
Bean and I did something together. We did something together by choice. We went someplace together on purpose.
A long time ago.
That was a couple years ago. We were in New York City, and he was doing a one-man show on Broadway, and Bean and I went together.
I am still ready to do stuff with you,
Ralph.
I
refute that.
I believe you've changed your mind on hanging out with me. I think that's what's happening.
That isn't the case at all. I rarely get the opportunity to do
anything. You know what it is? Is that Bean picks horrible things to go do.
Maybe that's why. So maybe I don't want to see the giant cement pecan or whatever it is he's going to.
This particular one, you find him funny as well.
We were on the same page here. Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking in a couple of weeks here, because I got to clean up before Foolishness, I'm thinking of flying out to Montana for the weekend to get a haircut. Ralph, is that something you'd like to accompany me with?
Not even a little bit.
You don't want to come with me to Montana?
No!
I'm getting a haircut.
Oh, wait a minute. You did. I forgot you were getting a haircut.
I don't care at all.
Jennifer, you do a little fly fishing? Come on.
Jennifer Grey is 52 years old. Michael Imperioli of Sopranos is 46. Leslie Mann turns 40 years old. Amy Smart is 36. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Now, what's your fear, Kevin? You're worried about Mr. Robbins' Jedi mind control, that he's going to somehow talk you into something you don't want to do when we have him on the phone?
Or? He's got some kind of power over people, and I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I'm a little bit against him, and then we're going to talk to him, and then the next thing I know, I'm going to be at some rally, and I'm going to be here with both arms up going, woo! We're going to be walking on coals, and I don't want to do any of that.
Tony Robbins is on the phone. His new show is called Breakthrough with Tony Robbins. It debuts tonight on the OWN channel, and I can't believe we just promoted anything on the OWN channel, but that's the power of Tony Robbins. He's already getting us to do stuff we don't normally do.
See? That's the mind control that he has.
Tony, how are you, my friend? Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me back on, guys. You guys have been around as long as I have. It's been, 25 years you guys have been on the air there in L.A.?
Close.
It's been a long time. And I was telling Kevin, I can't remember how long it's been since we talked to you, but it probably has been 20 years since you've been on the show, and you're still out there getting it done, dude.
Me and Keith Richards, dude. That's
yeah, exactly. But here's what I don't understand,
but
Tony.
Richards snorted his dad. Is that true of you as well?
No, that's not true of me.
Okay,
well.
All right, just checking.
Here's what I wanted to ask you, Tony, and I know that we're not going to have nearly enough time, but you're always out there talking about people maximizing their lives, and every moment is precious, and get up and do it, and don't be lazy. Yet, why are you still working so hard? Why are you still keeping this ridiculous schedule? You're flying all over the world doing your seminars and stuff. You've got hundreds of millions of dollars. Why haven't you walked away and started to really enjoy your life in retirement?
Retirement's death, baby. I mean, it's like,
that's death.
You guys love what you love to do. I love what I get to do. And I see people lit up. You know, music's one way that happens in life, and I usually use it in my events. But that's what I live for. And, one of the reasons I decided to do this show is you look at the world we're in today, and there's always been extremely stressful situations we all go through. You know, people lose their jobs. They lose their incomes. Their house burns down. You know, lose a family member. Someone says you got a tumor in your brain. I've heard that one before. And you get through those experiences, and life is 100 times richer, and shit just doesn't bother you anymore at the same level, right? So I wanted to do something where I could do 6 specials, and I could show people that you have no problems by contrast. So this time what got me juiced was saying, let me take on a couple. I tried to think, what's the most difficult thing I could imagine? I found a couple that went down to Mexico to get married. The tradition down there is you jump fully clothed after the nuptials in the swimming pool. So the wife jumps in, they take pictures,
right.
Husband jumps in, and it's a pool of blood. He becomes a quadriplegic overnight.
Oh, no.
Tony, what a downer.
So this is...
Let me tell you, they said to me, this couple, you're never going to want to make sure this is too depressing. I said, no, give me a week to think it through. So I come there, I finally got in this house.
So this show's a comedy?
Pardon me?
This show's a comedy?
It's not a comedy, but I'm sorry, believe it or not. He's in his chair. He can't move. His wife's never going to be able to have intimacy with him. She can't leave the house. So what am I going to do? Tell him, let me motivate you and pump you up. I got my limbs. You can do well, too.
Right.
I had to give him an experience. I always tell people, a belief is a lousy substitute for experience. When you experience it, it's real. So I said, you know what? He thinks he can't get out of the house. I'm going to take him to Fiji. I have a home and resort there. I'm going to blow him away. The journey there was unbelievable. Then 2 days, I get him skydiving. You know, literally within a week, I had him playing murder ball after 10 days of training with nobody else around. If you haven't seen murder ball, it's basically, you know, it's rugby for quadriplegics and these devices.
Out
of Mad Max. Right?
Murder ball's awesome.
It's incredible.
But you didn't have him like rolling through hot coals or anything, did you?
No.
I had him
figure out what he really wanted. And before when he was able-bodied, his big dream was to become a desert racer, to build a truck, But he's able-bodied, he couldn't do it. It was all in pieces. So he'd given the pieces of the truck away. I bought him, brought him back to his house, let him know, and gave him 4 days to rebuild it with the device so that he could steer with his elbows. And I got in the truck with him 4 days later. We drove 110 miles an hour through the desert like crazy people. So that's just one example of one show. And, you know, you look at this thing and you go, if that guy's life can change that much in 30 days, I got no excuse. And that's part of what drives me, is to see people lit up and see people take back control of their life.
So do you feel like a guy like that, beyond the thrill of being with you, a big celebrity, and having the cameras follow him and getting to go all these fun places and do all these fun things, do you think if you checked in with him 6 months from now, his life would be significantly different and better by what he learned from the time with you, Tony?
The show we shot was a year and a half ago. 6 months afterwards, his wife developed a tumor in her brain the size of a softball. This is a guy that couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. He comforted her. He found the doctor. He got her to go through two surgeries, and they're okay. He called me 3 months ago, and he says, I just want to tell you, we're out camping. This is a guy that wouldn't leave his house. He's out camping now. His complete life has changed. He's now employed, and he works. He does computer CAD drawings and so forth.
See, this is all – this sounds like mind control. You're some kind of Jedi Knight. There's no possible way this happens to normal people.
So, Tony, do you feel that you have a responsibility to share your point of view with people who could use it? That's why you continue to do it year after year.
I don't know if it's responsibility. It's a gift and it's a privilege, right? You know, not everybody wants to hear what you have to say, and I'm not looking to shove it down somebody's throat. But if somebody's looking for answers on how to make their life better, I spent 30 years studying what makes people work. You know, why does a couple get together and they're together 40 years later and they still have great sex and they're passionate, as opposed to like, hey, I know you, you're my buddy, and we share the same house. Couples, you know, people that go through tough times, how do they turn around? People that have done well financially during the toughest times, turning businesses around. So I'm passionate because most people major in minor things. They know more about Lindsay Lohan's life than they do about what matters. But if you master your body, your emotion, your relationships, your finances, your career, there's so many things in life to go after that matter. And if you focus on them, you can make a significant dent in whatever you thought was your limitation, and you can start to achieve things. And that's fulfilling for me and fulfilling for the people I work with.
All right, let me ask you a question that we have debated on this program before. The people who walk on the coals. We had people call in who walked on the coals, and they said the really hot ones are way down below, and then they put some that aren't on fire on top so that it's not that big a deal. Your feet are wet. There's a lot of – it seems like there's a lot of trickery to get through that.
Listen, I tell people, I say, listen, here's the bottom line. I've done skydiving. I've done wood breaking. I've used all kinds of metaphors, but as the years went by, the firewalk became something I still did because when you go put 5,000 people in New York this Thursday – you know, I'm not going to put them all up in the air and skydive. But the bottom line is Oprah, when she's the biggest skeptic, she said she'd stay for a maximum of 2 hours. 12 hours later, she's out of her mind and did the experience that she was scared out of her life. She came and stood back and said it was one of the two most incredible experiences of her life, which is saying a lot coming from Oprah. So it's not the firewalk. The firewalk is just a metaphor for whatever fire is stopping you in life, whatever you're holding back on. And you getting you, I don't do it, you get yourself in a state where you can storm through that fire, the same state that get you to storm through the limitations in your business or your career or your relationship or anywhere else. It's just a metaphor. But no, it's not designed to be less hot and so forth. They've had guys from UCLA come out and test the coals.
All right, let me
1,200 and 2,000 degrees.
Let me ask you one other question, because we watch American Idol and they always show the early contestants on American Idol, and they're terrible. I mean, these people cannot sing even a lick. And then, you know, people win Grammys and they get up and they go, hey, you should follow your dreams. You should don't ever let go of your dreams. You know what? Some people should completely wholesale change their dreams because they're never, ever, ever going to be a singer.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. I want to be a professional athlete, professional baseball player, and I was slow and not skilled. So I had to change it, and then I thought I'd be a sports writer. And, you know, then I had to find what it is. I don't tell people never give up on your dream. What I tell people is, if there's something inside of you that wants to live, if you're that passionate about it, you won't let go, you may have that dream, but it may not be your profession. It may be something you do as an aside that fulfills you. But you're going to have to find something where you can add more value than anybody else is adding if you're going to prosper and do well in your business and your career.
The website is TonyRobbins.com. You can follow Mr. Robbins on Twitter at Tony Robbins. And the new special is Breakthrough with Tony Robbins, the first of 6 episodes airing tonight and every Monday night at 10 on the OWN Network. Tony, we'll talk to you in another 20 years, man. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, guys. Take care of yourself.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We introduced our audience, Kevin, while you were out last week to Gillionaire, our favorite new rapper. He's
Love
a
it.
YouTube sensation. And
isn't it Gillionaire?
Not according to him.
Not according to him. But a lot of things are really not pronounced or spelled the way you might expect them, according to him.
Right.
He is so gangsta that he tatted, this is his quote now from the OC Weekly, "I tatted GWAS across my chest, that swag in reverse, so the hoes can see that ish in their rearview mirrors." That's how gangsta this guy is. In fact,
wow.
he's so gangsta that he uses the sound of rifles as a beat. That's how tough he is.
It's the hardest beat. This is the hardest beat anybody's ever heard. It's made out of gunshots. Gunshots on a beat.
Listen to how excited he is here about his beats. Check this out.
But you ever hear harder than that? About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts. About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts.
So that's one of the clip from his big show called Rifles Burst.
By the way, that may be Rifles Burst making the beat, but I've heard a gazillion beats that are better than that.
Yes.
They may be guns, but it's a weak beat.
I don't think that he does any instruments at all. I think he makes all of his sounds in the rest of his songs with his own mouth.
Oh, okay.
For instance, this one, he's doing his own background. This is the international sensation called I'm Da Bess, and that's spelled I'M DA BES. I'm Da Bess. Here's Gillionaire. This is one you're going to get stuck in your head, too.
Yeah.
Throughout the day. Can't help it.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
Wow.
I'm the best.
Put a lot of work in the lyrics.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
I love the guy who, I guess it's him, overdubbing, going, swag, 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 swag.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and he does it again. And we did put this video up for I'm the Best at KevinAmin.com or KRock.com on Friday morning show.
Ringtone!
If you want it. Yeah, no kidding, right? Well, let's hear some of the lyrics why Gillionaire is the best.
Standing on a car, finger in the air. With some women's with my fingers in their hair.
Sweat, 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 sweat.
Yes, I be the one that wins Street Fighter tournaments. Make $1 million without even earning it. I got the highest score in the world on my SAT. And then I went to Everest to learn how to slang them trees.
Now, we had a little bit of debate on Friday as to why he would be going to Everest to slang some trees. Apparently, Everest, the highest place in the world slanging some trees, is smoking the most dope.
I see. I can guarantee this guy's joking. He has to be joking.
Really? I want him to be real so much.
I do, too. But do you think he got the highest scores on the SATs?
No, I don't think he's
just lying.
Yeah. I don't think rappers do half the things that they brag about in their songs. But really, you think he's fake? You think he's like clowning on other rap videos?
He may be. It's too bad. I mean, it's so
good.
Bad. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's so bad that it's good, and I want him to be real. All right, I'm with you. I'm going to take for granted he's real.
Okay.
I want him to be. Here's some more Gillionaire.
I don't have to count to know I'm worth a billion. You know what bigger number? I am worth a gillion. I'm the best at watching 1990s videos. Power Rangers, all that Keen and Kill, all here we go.
Now, are we at the point of bragging in the hip-hop community now where if you can watch 90s videos better than anyone else, that's considered a feather in your cap?
Oh, that guy rules because of it. I watched a lot of 90s videos while I was on vacation, but nowhere near Gillionaire.
No, he smokes you, man. He's the best.
I'm the best at making beats. That's right, my voice the track. And my swag is off the charts. That's a fact. I'm the best.
All right, here's the hook again.
I'm the best.
Yeah.
I'm the best. My car moved when I ain't driving it. My carpool, it's got a slide in it.
All right, I gotta give it up for my carpool has got a slide in it because that's not the kind of pool that has a slide.
What?
That's clever, right?
At the target range, scoring all the headshots. Teabagging y'all, Lipton's on the rocks. Went to Maury and he said that baby ain't mine. Just for lying, I threw that dump skank on top of a mine.
Okay, so he's on Maury and he finds out the kid isn't his. So what does he do? He throws the dumb skank onto a mine. What he's done, what Gillionaire has done, and please, kids, if you're thinking of making it in rap videos, please pay attention very close to this. He has rhymed mine with mine, ladies and gentlemen.
He did do mine and mine. There. Yeah.
You got to go to KRock.com or KevinBean.com. You really haven't gotten the full Gillionaire experience unless you have seen the video. But trust me when I tell you this. I'm the best is going to be stuck in your head today, and you're welcome. All right. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Mondays, we catch up with him on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, he's got the TMZ television that airs weeknights, and now the new TMZ Live, which I think is on, what'd you say, Harvey? 11 o'clock on Channel 11? Is that right?
Nope. 3 o'clock, 3 to 4, Channel 11, Monday through Friday.
3 to 4.
Seriously, just watch Fox. Harvey will be on there a lot.
Like every other show is a Harvey Levin show.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I bring that up is because you had a very special guest, I think on Friday. You had Kim Kardashian call in for TMZ Live, right?
We did indeed.
And what is she saying about what happened to her on the red carpet with the flower? Because I would imagine that it took a minute to even get her head around what was happening. And I think the first thing I would think is, oh my God, this is potentially terrible and painful and I'm going to die, right?
Well, yeah, and the fire department actually came and, you know, they had to check it out because, you know, God knows what white powder is going to be. It was just
hey, by the way, if I'm the fire department, I'm showing up too. Hey, look, I need to hose you down. We got to be safe here.
That didn't happen.
It was just flour.
It was just flour. And, you know, initially, what she told us was, look, you know, I'm not going to press charges. It was wrong. She has changed her mind. She is going to press charges now. She decided over the weekend, we put it up on, I believe, yesterday.
Right.
That she now has decided she is going to press charges against this woman, alleging assault and battery. And, you know, this woman, it's unclear what group she's a member of, but it was definitely an anti-fur comment. And PETA has been supporting her. PETA now says they will actually pay this woman's legal bills, but Kim is going to. Is going
to
press on.
I got to tell you, I'm happy this happened to Kim. I enjoy this kind of thing. But she should sue because you can't really encourage people to take that kind of action and not have any consequences.
Yeah, I mean,
other worse things can happen to people we like.
And you know, it's true, but it's really kind of a mixed bag. For sure it's wrong. But, you know, when you start looking at, you know, what happened in the civil rights movement when people said, hey, something's really morally reprehensible, and they would block people's businesses and make it impossible for them to do business because they wouldn't allow blacks, you know, to go inside the stores.
Right, right.
You know, there are people who feel that torturing animals is a morally reprehensible thing as well, and so they're engaging in what they say is civil disobedience.
Right.
And,
but that goes way over the line a lot.
Well, explain the civil rights movement where people would literally block buildings.
Right. How is the war on fur going? I know a lot of people don't like PETA and their methods, but it does seem like they have made an impact in spreading the conversation and having people kind of turn on it in general. I mean, except for J-Lo and a few others, there aren't a lot of high-profile people still wearing fur, are there?
You guys should go to the website on Saturday.
Like we don't every single day, Harvey.
Well, on Saturday, we put 9 polls up where we wanted to find out exactly what the sentiment was. And at least over 200,000 people voted the last I looked, and that was yesterday morning. But
wow.
It was really surprising. A lot of people support what happened here, and the animal rights movement has really turned around, and it's becoming way more mainstream. And in fact, in a bunch of the polls, the majority voted in favor of the animal rights people. It's really interesting.
But the problem there, Harvey, is that you also have another variable, which is Kim Kardashian, who is a hateable, you know, person to a lot of people.
Well, we did, but we didn't make it about Kim as much. I mean, we did ask about it, but we asked generally, you know, is I'm doing this from memory. I don't have it up on the site right now, but we asked if torturing animals is as bad as torturing people. It was interesting. I think 65% of the people said yes.
That's scary.
Well, I mean, and the idea that you are doing this for fashion.
I don't think it's scary.
It's scary because people are people and animals
yeah,
are
animals. Yeah, but it's for absolutely no good reason.
I'm not saying either should happen.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, but you're saying that animals are worse than people.
No,
that's
No. I'm just saying that there are a lot of people who feel that torture is torture.
Agreed.
And it's especially like Lisa May is saying that, you know, to do, you know, it's a luxury item. And it's not like you're going to die if you don't have a fur. I mean, you don't need a fur to survive. And even to be fashionable, you don't need a fur.
I have fur underwear. I just want to put that out there.
It's really comfortable. And the truth is, by the way, we really do live in the 21st century where there are synthetic furs that are 100% interchangeable with real furs. You cannot tell the difference. It's not like the fur, the animal fur is better or more luxurious. It's not.
You
we're
can
just,
tell
we're,
in the underwear.
We're past it. Hey, real quick before we go, only because it's brand new and maybe people haven't heard about it, Harvey Levin, and that is Madonna versus Deadmau5. This is a new feud that I found funny.
Well, this is a big deal. So Madonna was at a concert over the weekend, and she asked people how many people in the crowd have seen Molly. Now, Molly, if you don't know, it's a slang term for MDMA, which is a key ingredient of ecstasy.
Right.
And, you know, Deadmau5 came out, and I got to say, Deadmau5 has a real big point here, which is, you know, Madonna, it's almost like she's struggling. We got into this in the morning meeting today for the show. You know, it's like she's struggling to connect with a 20-year-old audience, and she's in her 50s. And it's like, at a point, you know, go do Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, but it just felt so forced, you know, to say something like this. I don't know how you guys feel about it. To me, it strikes me the way it strikes.
Well, first of all, I think you're right about what you're saying about Madonna. She is trying to be relevant when she's been supplanted by Lady Gaga and a bunch of other artists. But MDMA is the name of her album, right? That's the name of her new album that comes out tomorrow. That's the tie-in. That's why she wanted to get this conversation started, I suspect, because she's a brilliant marketer.
She's a brilliant marketer, but it may work. Look, when the Beatles did Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, they were using LSD.
Right.
I mean, they were in the middle of all of it. She's decades past all this stuff. And I don't know. She's a brilliant marketer, but the issue is, can you market as well when you're in your 50s when you do stuff like this as you did when you were in your 20s?
It's funny, too, when a DJ who is normally the person who would have the most fans on ecstasy would bring that up.
Well, he's almost like saying, you have no right to get into this discussion.
Right.
Interesting.
It really is interesting.
Please follow this story as it unfolds on TMZ.com. And, of course, you can check out Harvey every other half hour on Fox LA and LA for his various television shows. You're the best, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Once again, brand new music from Silver Sun Pickups here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Neck of the Woods is the name of the album. It's going to be out the first week of May, and that one is called Bloody Mary, Nerve Endings. I suspect it's going to take me a long time to have any idea what they're singing about.
Sure.
That one, but it sounds good. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, good stuff. Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I've got some tickets to give away. All week long, I'll be giving away tickets to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of American Reunion.
Ha-ha!
I am so looking forward to this movie. We've all been talking about it in the office. American Pie, one of the great R-rated comedies ever.
Agreed.
Sequel, I enjoyed enormously. And then they did, I don't know, 47, I think, sequels that went direct to DVD.
Right.
It was like American Pie Bandcamp and American Pie Spring Break. And American Cake with American Tart, I think they did.
And some of them had like one guy in who was in the original movie.
Right,
and
like it was
had
an
a guy
extra.
Who had seen the original movie. It was just weird.
Yeah, but now they're back. The entire cast reunites for American Reunion. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 6th. You, however, my good friends, will be able to see it before anybody else. But I want to give it to a true American Pie fan. Someone who loves the characters, loves the story, and wants to see the special
Stifler
sequel before anyone else does. Here's the trivia question. Stifler.
That's what I said.
Is what Kevin said. True or false? Call right now. Stifler's mom, of course, a legendary character in the American Pie franchise.
Yep.
Stifler's mom, of course, has sex with one of Stifler's friends, which is a very awkward situation. If you've seen the films, you know what Stifler's mom's first name is. Stifler's mom. She's mostly known as Stifler's mom. However, they do mention her first name. I'll give you a little hint. It was in the sequel.
Oh.
What is Stifler's mom's first name? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five people who get through with the correct answer to my trivia question, we'll get a pair of tickets to the K-Rock advanced screening of American Reunion. It's just that simple. While we're talking about movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the cinemas this weekend. Number one, as everyone expected it to be, was The Hunger Games, although even the most optimistic prognosticators fell a little short of what they thought Hunger Games was going to make this weekend.
I got to tell you, it's not just for kids.
No, it's not.
Really, really well done.
$155 million is what Hunger Games made this weekend.
That's all?
Speculating between $100 and $150, so it bested even the top
guesses of what it was going to make. It made a little bit under $60 million worldwide outside of the U.S., so it's about $214 million.
Hmm. In a weekend.
In a weekend. Not too shabby. 21. It's by the way, the movie's just like Twilight. It's just like the Twilight.
That's what I understand, yeah.
It's not at all.
Yeah, it's just like
interchangeable,
it.
As far as I can tell.
21 Jump Street was second with $21.3 million at the box office. Then The Lorax, John Carter, Act of Valor. That rounds out your top five.
Oh, you guys are making the Twilight fans mad.
No, we're making the Hunger Games
fans. Oh, you're making
fans.
The Hunger Games
mad.
I see. Right. It's just like Twilight.
I made the mistake of drawing a comparison between the two only because they're both based on popular book series and they're both potential movie franchises and they have a similar hardcore passionate following. I used those facts as sort of a comparison between the two phenomenons because they're both cinematic phenomena.
Sure.
Phenomena.
And, Hunger Games is 10 times the movie.
The Mockingjays are now calling for my blood. One of our own who works here at the station actually wrote up an angry post about the comparisons and how they're not acceptable. And now apparently,
I can guess which one of two or three people that is.
Now, apparently, the Mockingjays are planning to douse me with a flower next time I'm on a red carpet.
I hope that happens.
That's what they're planning. So I hope Kim wins that lawsuit.
Hunger Games is 10 times the movie. Back to you.
I never meant to compare them as films or Hunger Games was as poorly made as the Twilight films.
I like that everybody cares so much they're going to kill you.
I'm sure it's a better film. I guarantee you that. I'm just saying there are comparisons.
We can all agree, though, that Twilight wins in the lead actress category just in terms of beauty and talent, right?
And charisma.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Energy.
Yeah.
Stage presence.
Oh,
she's doing awards.
She
scintillates.
She scintillates on the screen. Project X, 1,000 Words, Safe House, Journey 2, and Casa de Mi Padre, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to our buddy Jimmy Kimmel. He was going to be the host. He was going to be the host. He is going to be the host of the 64th annual Primetime Emmy Awards. Happening on September the 23rd at the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles. ABC, as you can imagine, will cover the telecast, and our own Jimmy will be the host. I couldn't be more proud.
About that.
Congratulations also to James Cameron, director of Titanic, who is, he's serious. He takes this whole ocean thing very seriously.
Right.
He made The Abyss, of course, about that water-faced creature that comes up and says hi to you. Remember that?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing? It's like when it was water, and he would talk to you.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
That was pretty interesting, wasn't it, Kevin? Even more interesting is the Titanic director went to the bottom of the Marianas Trench this weekend.
What is that?
What's the Marianas Trench?
Mm-hmm.
It is the lowest known point of the ocean floor.
Has anyone gone that low before?
He went down there by himself, right, Ralph?
Yes. No one's ever been there before.
If no one's ever been there before and no one went with them,
I was down there. Yeah, I was down there. It was scary. Oh, there's all kinds of creatures down there. No, you don't need to go. No, I've seen everything there is to see. It's fine.
Ah, liar.
No, it is the ocean's deepest part, as far as we know. It is 6.7 miles down.
Wow.
He took a specially constructed 12-ton submarine down to the bottom of the trench Sunday morning. Cameron made some time to tweet, of course, when he got there, because
how does he have a signal?
You're down in the most amazing part of the known ocean, and you have to send a tweet out. Just arrived at the ocean's deepest point. Hitting bottom never felt so good. You didn't date the girl I dated in college. Can't wait to share what I'm seeing with you. The project was sponsored by the National Geographic Organization, was 7 years in the making, and carried four deep ocean high definition cameras.
Wow.
So you can be sure there will be a special project recording and showing us everything he saw down there.
All right. Crazy for deep ocean, right? Didn't he do tons of footage shot at the actual Titanic site, made a movie out of that?
Yeah, he's been obsessed. He's been obsessed with ocean exploration.
All right, you like
ever
the ocean.
Since The Abyss.
Take
and,
it easy.
He's very much into it, and now he's got the money and the wherewithal to be able to explore places where no one has been before.
And I think it's fascinating, the early reports I heard from him were that he was surprised that the life was so tiny down there. He was expecting to find some big creatures down there. And he said everything was really, really small that far down in the ocean.
Yeah.
They were all piranhas. And he let them out. But other than that,
they're not piranhas. No. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. We have many.
I think, who was the first one? Andy on line 4, I believe, was the first person to get through with the correct answer. Andy?
Sorry, waiting for them to put him on hold.
Oh,
thank
I
you.
See. Okay.
All right. Hi, Andy.
Andy?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Andy. What's Stifler's mom's first name?
Janine.
Janine, that's right.
Yeah! Yeah!
During sex with Finch, he's like, oh, Janine. OJ's oh, like, no, call me Stifler's mom. She makes him call him Stifler's mom. Congratulations. Hold on, Andy. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the special advanced screening of American Reunion.
All right. Thanks, guys.
No one's happier than Andy.
Wow. You,
no
didn't, one. Win a, you didn't win a trip
he's
to the bottom
happiest
of the ocean.
Guy in the
take
world.
It easy.
Congratulations also to Steven and Jeremy and Nick and Giovanni. They're also our big winners. Today's celebrity birthday is Leonard Nimoy. Mr. Spock himself is 81 years old. Alan Arkin, very funny and talented actor. Remember him in the Little Miss Sunshine? He played
oh,
the granddad.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, was he funny.
That's a good movie.
78, James Caan, 72. Diana Ross, 68. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 64. Martin Short turns 62. Jennifer Grey is 52. Michael Imperioli celebrates his 46th birthday. Leslie Mann is 40. Amy Smart turns 36 years old. Keira Knightley is 27. And my own tiny little daughter, Olivia, who is 2 years old today, celebrates her birthday as well. I say that because she might be listening. Sometimes she listens to the radio when my mom...
I don't think so.
She does. When my wife's driving around, they turn me on.
What?
And she goes, Dada? Dada?
And she's... When I'm talking?
No, when I'm talking.
Okay.
Ass. So, be good to mommy, honey. I don't know.
Penis.
Hey, come on. It's my kid. She's two.
Sorry.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Got an all-new Beans Death Corner for you coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm going to be honest and tell you that I was a little bit surprised by the news I heard coming out of the blue this weekend that Dick Cheney had received a new heart. Now, who knew Dick Cheney was still alive? First of all,
yeah.
And second of all, really, they're giving hearts out now to guys in their 70s?
Yeah, it's a little surprising.
One of the things about that, Bean, is that people over the age of 65 have much, much, much less success with
yes.
heart transplants.
Mm-hmm. Look, I watch House. I know how
sure.
these things work. If they've got a 70, and then Mr. Cheney's case, he's 71 years old. If they've got him on a table, then they got a 25-year-old over there who needs a new heart. Usually the 25-year-old gets it. I can't believe that it got to him, but maybe... You know, maybe he's powerful. Maybe he got a little bit of an advantage because he's, you know, Dick Cheney.
He had a heart transplant on Saturday after 5 heart attacks over the past 25 years.
Unbelievable.
5 times his heart said, F you.
He won't die.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so I believe we have Mr. Cheney on the phone. Hit it, Steve.
Dick Cheney.
Mr. Vice President, how are you feeling, sir?
So?
I mean, so
it's Kevin and Bean here. We were just asking how you're feeling after the surgery on Saturday.
Yeah, I feel good.
You do.
Feel good. Okay. How did you get a new heart? Did you hear what we were just saying, that we thought there must be a waiting list of much younger people who would probably be ahead of you?
Mm-hmm.
How did you jump the line?
It was a gift from an unknown donor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Whoa, what's going on? Why are you shooting?
Sorry. Shotgun just went off, sir.
Why do you have a shotgun in the hospital?
That's how I got a gift from my
Gotcha.
You just helped yourself after that. I see what you're saying.
It was heart hunting season. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting for a new heart.
You are not doing comedy.
That's my Elmer Fudd.
No.
I like it. So 5 heart attacks, and you're already in your 70s. At some point, are you just going to give up and go toward the light?
Well, first of all, I'm not going toward the light if I go.
That's true. Go toward the darkness.
That light is flames. But I was leaving the doctor's office, and he said, you need a new heart, but we have nobody on the list to give you one.
Right.
And I was in the parking lot of the hospital.
Right.
And I said, this guy's got one. It was him. He said he wanted me to have it. And so they put the heart in, but the problem is apparently he was a good guy or something because his heart keeps trying to escape.
Oh, you mean your body's rejecting it? Because
no, the heart's rejecting my body.
Oh, I see.
I see.
He's trying to...
You okay? Oh, no, Mr. Cheney. Dick?
This is good news, by the way.
What happened?
Get back in there, you little bastard. I'll show him.
Does that work?
You were dead. How did you fire a weapon when you were dead?
The will to kill, my friend.
That's what it is.
Yep.
How often does that happen? I mean, is that something you're worried about?
I'm not
Am I worried about my heart jumping out of my body? Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying it.
Oh, here we go. Oh, no.
Hey, I scared the crap out of you, didn't I? That heart's
bad.
A pussy.
Your heart's a pussy.
Yeah. Oh, don't kill me. All right, I'll go back in your body.
Well, you're a 71-year-old man that's had heart trouble your whole life. It's got to be a difficult job for that heart.
I don't think that's the problem.
No.
I think it's I think it's the darkness.
You're an evil bastard.
The darkness.
I think it's the darkness in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the demons.
Sure,
right.
Chanting at all hours of the night.
Sure.
It's going to take some getting used to for the heart, I believe.
I'm just surprised that the heart is able to get out through the Darth Vader suit. That's the thing that gets me.
I'm looking forward to getting back to Transylvania, however, and getting back into the earth that I was raised in and coming back better and stronger than ever.
No, please don't do that.
You got a lot of good things to look forward to, Mr. Vice President.
Cheney in 2014.
There you go. There it is.
Oh, get out of the bit already, would you?
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, Dick.
Jet on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Not that jet.
Oh. Different jet. Wow, did Kevin recognize a Paul McCartney song right there?
I know.
That just happened?
A little rest and relaxation does my boy good. He's
dare you.
He's tanned, he's rested, back. He's ready.
Hey, Ralph, before you get into the showbiz beat, how about a little less of whatever else we had planned on the show for the rest of the month and a little more getting Jessica Pare on for Mad Men? What about making that our goal in life?
See, you've just spiked the creep factor already. How can we have her
creepy.
In when you've been creepy all day about her?
I haven't been creepy. I just love Mrs. Draper so much, and I want her on the show. What's wrong with that? I'm not being, but
creepy
hey, I love Mrs. Draper so much. That line alone,
right,
is beyond the pale
because she's not Mrs.
Creepy.
Draper,
right?
Right, but for people who may not recognize the actress's name, I was trying to help them identify who I'm talking about from TV's Mad Men.
Maybe how about then. You talk about it less, and we'll work off the air more.
That's right.
And she sings that little French
song. How
about
song you stop talking?
She does housework in her bra and panties.
You're
not making
this easier.
You missed the whole point of the bra and panties cleanup thing, by the way.
I got the whole point.
No, you didn't.
That worked on both levels.
It was not a good thing.
No,
that
it was not a good
there.
Thing, but it wasn't good for Don. It was good for me, the viewer.
Good for you, creepy man.
He told me. Bean told me when you were out there, he told me, hey, if you don't watch that whole two-hour show, you got to watch the last 15 minutes because she's cleaning in her panties.
Just look at her in her panties. Just the idea of Bean watching it at home, doing God knows what. The whole mental image is just... Oh, I just need a brain shower.
Disturbing.
Ugh.
I hear you.
I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything.
Right. That's good point, true. Beer Mug. Thank you very much.
So, Roger Sterling in the episode says about Don's wife, who is this French-Canadian girl who sings him a sexy song in French for his birthday and dances around and everything.
Right.
He's like, so his one of his partners at the firm says the next day, yeah, I tried to get my wife to talk to me that accent, but it didn't work. She doesn't speak French, and she doesn't like me. You gotta love Roger Sterling.
Was that right after "Why Can't You Sing Like That"? And then "Why Can't You Look Like Him"?
No, that was
right
after that. That was at the party where she said, "Why can't you sing like that? Why don't you look like him?" So their marriage is not going well. Yeah.
Good times. All right, time for the showbiz beat now on a Monday. Here's Ralph.
I love Mrs. Draper.
Again, for the benefit of people who may not know who the actress is, trying to help them out.
We're saying you're making it harder on us.
He's watching it while engaging in autoerotic asphyxiation. That's all I'm telling you. That's what's happening in the Baxter household when that show's on.
I watched it sitting on the couch with my real-life actual human wife, if you must know.
With a belt around your neck. And your pants around your ankles.
Oh, is your wife holding the belt?
She's trying to be helpful. She's a supportive wife. What can you say? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Hunger Games. $155 million at the box office. Come on.
That's not bad, right?
Good enough to break a number of records. It is the biggest opening ever for a non-sequel film.
Wow.
Third best opening ever overall, behind one of the Potter films in Dark Knight.
It was the last Potter film, right?
Yeah, right. Best opening for any film outside of a summer opening.
Wow.
So, as you can see... Very successful.
That's a really good movie. $155
million.
That's really good.
That's good right there.
And it's just like Twilight, so they got that going for them.
21 Jump Street, number two at the box office, a little over $21 million, made it number two. The Lorax was third, John Carter and Act of Valor were the top five. Then Project X, A Thousand Words, Safe House, Journey 2, and Casa de Mi Padre, number 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, after Twilight and Hunger Games, if you want to get in the movie business, all you need to do is write three books. Just take anything and just write a trilogy of books about it.
Okay.
The next big franchise, at least what the studios are willing to pony up for, is this 50 Shades of Grey. This mommy porn book that Dr. Drew thinks is the downfall of all civilization.
He does.
He's responsible for selling more copies of that book than anybody, though.
Yeah, he's got a hate on for it, and people are saying, oh, maybe I should read it.
Well, then.
It is basically a housewife sex fantasy strung out over three books. Everyone complaining about how poorly written it is. It started off as like this fan fiction by this woman who just started putting it, and then now it's caught on fire because apparently it's very erotic.
Right.
And the studios have been fighting amongst themselves trying to win the film rights to this book. Today we have a winner. Universal announced that they have purchased the rights to 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, and 50 Shades Freed. That's the trilogy of 50 Shades book that they're going to make movies out of. No word on how much they paid, but industry insiders are speculating they spent as much as $5 million for the film rights to
wow.
the trilogy.
And they got to pay Rosie O'Donnell to star in it. So you got that. No?
I'm not sure what that means.
Who should star in that movie less than Rosie O'Donnell?
I got you.
It's sexy.
E.L. James is the name of the woman who wrote the book, so she's a richer woman today for it. Here's the thing, I think sometimes it's so obvious for us sitting outside the machine that is Hollywood. When you say yes, obviously Twilight did very well for itself. It was a book series. Yes, Hunger Games did well for itself. It was a book series. This book series is basically pornography.
Right.
It's highly erotic literature.
Okay.
How are you going to make those books into a movie trilogy that is going to be able to reach a wide audience and make that kind of money?
You're going to have to make it R at the very least,
at the
right?
very least, if yeah. not NC-17, right? So how are they planning on making an S-load of money from such an obviously sexualized subject matter?
I don't know.
It's not a slam dunk. It seems to be risky at best, and when you're dealing with a book that is largely based on the fantasies of the women reading them and how they envision the characters in their minds and the sexual things that happen, you can't help but disappoint when you try to put that literally up on the screen.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yes, I know you would. I think Bean and Mrs. Don Draper should star in the movie series.
I'm fine with that.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
We can never have her on. Never. Rihanna wants to
have her on.
Rihanna wants to be a movie producer.
Okay.
She has been talking to Bobby Christina Brown about doing a movie about her mother, Whitney Houston.
But not playing her mother, Whitney Houston, right?
No. Okay, she wants the rights. She wants the rights to mom's life story. And so apparently, Rihanna has been in conversations with Bobby Christina in the hopes to get her approval and get the project on the fast track, where it is, as you can imagine. Rihanna would like to play Whitney herself. But Jennifer Hudson and Beyonce are also in talks of doing another version of the Whitney Houston story. So it looks like, before we know it, we're going to get a Whitney Houston story.
Jennifer Hudson's a great choice to play that.
Yeah, as long as you keep her away from the craft service table. That's all I'm saying.
There is one glaring problem.
No, she's lost a ton of weight. She's great now. She's
She's super thin.
She's like the Weight Watchers spokesmodel. Okay. She's done amazing work. I'm just saying. You know, you want to go Carney Wilson's route. Carney Wilson just had her second gastric bypass surgery.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah.
Her first gastric bypass surgery shrunk her stomach to the size of a golf ball.
Right.
Then she gained 160 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, apparently,
back.
You can eat right through that.
Apparently, you can. Yeah, now she's got the lap band. Doctors say if she wants another procedure, they're just going to run a tube from her mouth right to her butt. Just this, cut out the middleman completely. Just no other way for you to have another procedure.
That's attractive.
Well, I'm just saying, it'd be easier to lose weight that way. Just take out the middleman. Today's celebrity birthday. Yeah, I see it, Bearman. I see. We've run out of time. Thanks. He's flashing the time on the screen for me. Your days are numbered here, I'm telling you, man. Your days are numbered. Today's celebrity birthdays: Leonard Nimoy's 81, Alan Arkin's 78, James Caan turns 72 years old. James Caan. Wow. Is there no better audio of Captain Kirk screaming Caan?
Best one I could find on the fly, okay. But I'll keep searching.
Diana Ross is 68. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 64. Martin Short turns 62. Jennifer Grey is 52. Michael Imperioli of Sopranos fame is 46. Leslie Mann is 40. Amy Smart turns 36. Keira Knightley celebrates her 27th birthday today. And my lovely daughter Olivia is 2. Time to go home and get some Elmo cake. I gotta go.
Sweet Elmo cake.
Yeah, I love Elmo cake.
Me too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The food that comes with kids is awesome.
Oh, it's the best.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have your butt dialed. Butt dialing. This seems to happen a lot. You put your phone in your butt, in your pocket.
Don't put your phone in your butt.
You don't put it in your butt.
However, I'd like to change the phone-in topic if we could. If you put your phone in your butt, please call in and talk to the
I don't think we get
show.
As many calls. Yeah. Plus, we're going to have Ask a Little Person tomorrow.
Fantastic.
How about that? Ask a Little Person, and we have Kevin Smith.
What?
In the studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.